Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
This is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What? We've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
He's our son.
Happy birthday, Polly. Oh,
no, I got his son. Well, how's the Joker, baby?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 202. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Tro Ballins, and our guest, who will have time at the end to air any gripes for not being a Hall of Fame nominee, but he's now been on enough where I feel like you've caught up to people. It's Large.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not mad at all.
Definitely not mad.
Terminator. We're talking Terminator, Dark Fate, and Arnold movies. Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. We're going to be talking about our favorites. Our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited.
What did you think of Dark Fate, the title?
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all, right?
Kind of corny.
It sounds like a video game subtitle. Like Dark Souls, Dark Fate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Final Fantasy title for sure.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy Online, like a World of Warcraft expansion, like the Mists of Dark Fate.
Mm-hmm. Guardians of Gahul.
Yeah, I think they could have done better, but I also... You know, what are they going to call it? You can't call it Terminator 3 because chronologically it's pretty much Terminator 3.
However, they did call it Halloween, right? And Halloween was a sequel to Halloween. So there's been weirder shit.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I could argue that, but I don't think it's worth it.
No. And I mean, they called it T3, right? The actual third Terminator. What was it? The actual
it's Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Rise of the Machines, yeah, but they still called it T3, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, Dark Fate just doesn't sound good.
I feel like there's been this shift away and then maybe back to, and it, like, of course it's like not across everything, but you know, back in the 90s, you just called everything 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. et cetera, so on and so
worked.
Forth. It worked, and then I think they, I think the studio started wanting to get a little fancier with it. So mm-hmm. movies would be like, you know, not three, it'd be subtitle or like now it's like Fast and the Furious, The Fast and the Furious, Fast and the Furious.
They did that with Marvel though. Like Marvel, they stopped numbering things. They just called things by titles, which was not what they had been doing previously. And when it went from like Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, and then everything else is just not numbered.
I don't mind it in Mission Impossible. I think that actually works because they weave it into usually the thing, but it's like Mission:Impossible-Fallout. And that's like a lot of grammar involved in that.
Yeah.
But I think it works because like they said, like the fallout of all your good intentions in the movie. So I was like, okay.
Well, again, fair. Still better than the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah.
Star Wars-Episode 1:The Phantom Menace.
But if you took a poll like a casual movie person like myself, I couldn't without looking... or doing anything legwork today, have named what the Terminator. I knew Judgment Day, Rise of the Machines. I had. I wouldn't have guessed Salvation. I forgot it was Terminator Salvation. I just knew it was the one with Christian Bale. Yeah, and then Genesis spelt incorrectly. Like, I knew it, but I needed to be reminded. I thought that was terrible. And then Dark Fate. I forgot that this one was named Dark Fate. I saw it a couple of days ago. So it's kind of forgettable, like a Fall Out Boy cover band or something.
I don't like it. I think that, yeah, I think it would be funny if they did Terminator Biogenesis, and it was just about
steroids,
about all the robots juicing up.
What was the name of the guy in jail? It's the guy who got in trouble for that.
I'm not naming names.
Or Terminator Genesis, but they had like all Phil Collins songs.
Ooh,
see where we're at? Yeah.
He needs to be
no son of mine. That's an obscure Genesis song.
Easy lover. Do, 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 do. That's the ultimate CBS banger right there.
Yes.
Easy lover. Yeah, because it's on all of Phil Collins' greatest hit songs, but when somebody says, play me Phil Collins, they never mean play me Easy Lover. No. Like, that's not the Phil Collins song anyone wants to hear, but if it comes on easy listening, it's a pretty good song.
Yeah, very mellow, very, like, it makes you want to buy something in the cash wrap. It just works out right.
I can go top five right now if you want. Top five Phil Collins. You guys ready for this?
Yeah, do it.
Susu Studios, probably five. Do you remember that one at all?
Yeah, I remember all these.
He's a big music guy.
And I don't remember. Take Me Home. I don't remember. Take me home. Then another two, and then In the Air Tonight is the number one.
So
somebody
drowned. Yeah, no, I mean that's great. When he performs it live too, like if you look up clips on YouTube, he'll come out and he's wearing the headpiece mic on, and then the whole song will be him walking up to the drum set and he'll play the drum fill. It's fantastic. But
that's so awesome.
When I rank Phil Collins, like I can't remember which songs he did with Genesis and which songs he did by himself. So like my favorites are like Tonight, Land of Confusion. Mm-hmm. I associate with Phil Collins, but I don't think they're Phil Collins' proper solo songs.
I think you should be able to count them. I think you can count anything Phil Collins like adjacent, and that includes Genesis. So if you could, like, what would you be your top five if you include Genesis?
I Can't Dance.
Okay, that's a good one.
It's in there. Land of Confusion. Tonight. This is not in order. In the Air Tonight as well. Probably the Tarzan song. You'll be in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean it's a little softer. It doesn't have that hard rock Phil Collins edge to it as his older material does. But
there's one where it mispronounces the word anymore. I don't care any mau wow. I like that one too. No mau.
He was like one of the ugliest, sexiest guys I think I've ever seen. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but like he's just one of the hotter ugly people that have ever existed. Yep.
Well, do you remember the music video for Land of Confusion, Large?
With that was the puppets. Yeah, that was fantastic. It was political.
Atrocious looking puppets.
Yeah, it was like a Gorbachev puppet, right? It was quasi-political, right? Yeah, it had to be.
Oh, my God, that's disgusting. I'm just looking at it now. What a horrifying visage. Mm. How'd they ever – like, what was the plan there?
I was talking about how we're living in a land of confusion.
I guess.
Oh. And they're just Margaret Thatcher puppet, I believe. I can't. There's a Reagan puppet.
Reagan. We're with all the puppets of Reagan, if you really think about it. That was the Genesis. That's what they meant by that. Oh, my God. This is horrifying. This is like fucking so Gremlins or something. Look at that shit, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Man, I see it. It's terrifying shit.
That is gross.
Phil Collins' rabbit hole is a good rabbit hole to go down, isn't it?
Speaking of things Ken Jack learned of this week, did you know he learned about Emeril Lagasse this week?
Yeah, so like if any chef that's not on Chopped or Cutthroat Kitchen, like just over my head, like I don't really follow chef culture or any of that shit really at all. Like I knew his face once I saw him, and I was like, oh yeah, that's that guy from the cookbook.
Yeah, the BAM guy.
But I didn't know that he was the BAM guy, and I only knew he was the BAM guy afterwards because there's a Futurama character who's a chef called Elzar, and he always says BAM whenever he does something. I'm like, oh, well, obviously now this is who he was based off. But he was an alien monster with four arms, which maybe Lagasse.
So Emeril is aged out?
No,
people learning how to cook.
I'm a total moron, so don't use
me as a comment for young people. No, but I actually do think he's a little aged out. He doesn't have a show anymore.
He doesn't. He does have one on public TV where he does like tours of Louisiana. The Florida Keys, I think he kind of. So, yeah.
Was he aged out? I think you just answered the question.
Yeah.
His old studio in New York in Chelsea Market where Food Network is now, it's a fucking bookstore now.
Oh, really?
Just disgusting.
I think, I don't know if it's that or like Food Network just took – they're like, okay, we got this celebrity chef, and then Guy Fieri joins the fray, and he's just like this normal dude who loves food.
Yes.
And they're like, people just like these normal people who like food a lot, and they can just they can just go to like some local version of Arby's and rate that. And yeah, like he was huge in the late 90s, and you were a baby then, Ken Jack, so I don't blame you for knowing him. Yeah. But he was like, I mean, like when I think of celebrity chefs, the first ones I was cognizant of, it was like Paul Prudhomme.
Yep.
You remember him?
Absolutely.
The seasoning guy.
Fatty, yeah.
Just from the seasoning. And then Emeril. And then Julia Childs, of course. But like that was Julia Childs is highbrow. Yeah. Like that's yeah.
This guy, Justin Wilson, the Cajun cook. Do you remember him? He used to call them table spoons instead of tablespoons.
Table spoons. Oh, that sounds cool.
That's Emeril awesome. Used to say, when we come back from commercial, we're going to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called? That's what Elzar says in Futurama.
There, yeah,
he says, we're going to kick it up a notch. And then he hits it with a spice weasel. Is his thing.
Yeah.
This is all coming together.
Emeril was...
Sur la table.
What a fucking great store that is, by the way. I did bring up the food thing.
Is it better than Williams-Sonoma?
Yes. But Williams-Sonoma's a different type of stuff, though. It's similar, but it's different. Williams-Sonoma's kind of more all home decor, furniture, et cetera, et cetera. Where Sur la Table is, that's just kitchenware.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Right?
Sorry about that.
If you guys cooking shows, Wednesday, November 13th at 1 o'clock, Dr. Oz is doing a taco tasting segment starring me and Willie Colon. So, tune your TV. It's 1 o'clock.
That is unbelievable.
Must-see TV.
Is he going to tell you guys how to clear out your colon, call you unhealthy or anything?
Yeah, that's what he does. He's like, you guys make your tacos, so we made our tacos. And then he's like, no. You know, like, this is what you can do. Go for the chicken that kind of led us down that road, the fat road, and then shamed us a little bit. It was fine.
Did you talk to him about poop at all?
I did not. We didn't get into anything.
Okay. Okay.
Very lively audience.
I'd love to talk to him about poop. I'd be like, Dr. Oz, I have a big fucking problem. I don't have a gallbladder.
Shit.
Yeah, so basically, like, every time I shit, it's like the ending scene of Terminator 2. And I'm just drowning in a puddle of liquid shit, giving you the thumbs up.
Did you ever see when Bill Hader was him for SNL? With the Charlie Day episode, it was really fucking funny. Like, he had a collapsed rectum or something. I don't know.
I don't think I saw that.
That was like 5 years ago. It was very funny.
I did bring food up because I needed just a quick take on Panera from people. Do we like Panera at large? Have you eaten at Panera?
I'm not a Panera guy. I'm not into that too much because I do most of my cooking. But I did just read when they were grading the amount of whatever they put in meats. All these people that were given Fs, most of the food chains that you go to, McDonald's, Burger King, and those, that ilk. The only ones that were graded A's for not putting so many antibiotics in their meats was Chipotle and Panera. So they do have the cleanest meat there, if you would. But
I had somebody compare it to hospital food. So
I like their soups. I think their chicken and wild rice soup is very good.
In a bread bowl?
I don't like the bread bowl. Yeah. That's a little too ostentatious for me. I'm a Midwest Protestant by upbringing, and I feel that that's too fanciful, and I need to repent after indulging in a bread bowl.
It's not worth it.
It seems like it's a very old school, like Middle European thing, though, which I think most Middle Easterners are. No, don't they like love that shit, bread bowls?
Where I'm from, like, bread bowl was a Friday night thing.
Ooh,
you know, you just got out of school on Friday night, and you either went to get a bread bowl at Jim's soup restaurant. Yeah, I don't want to say that, but Jim's soup restaurant, or you went to Pizza Hut and redeemed your book it points.
Oh man, imagine a bread bowl from Pizza Hut.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, no.
I'll go
Jackpot.
And have the bread
Jackpot.
Bowl.
Jim Brewer.
I'll go and have the bread bowl full of Alfredo. The pasta Alfredo in the bread. I'm not a bread bowl guy myself. That might be surprising, but I'm not. I think it's just overkill.
Sure.
It's like a chocolate shot glass. But yeah, like I remember one of them. I think it was Olive Garden. They filled the bread bowl with creamy pasta.
They, you know, Olive Garden has a chocolate brownie lasagna.
That's too much. I don't like those. I don't like the, what was it, like tostadas or tostada salads or whatever, like where it's like it's.
Oh, you can eat the.
Like, you can eat the bowl, but I'm like, salad, yeah. That's too messy. I'd rather just eat it out of a regular bowl and get as much food in my body as quickly as possible.
I agree.
Maybe get on the side.
Worth noting, we are going to be interviewing. We already did, actually. Speaking of lasagna, John Lasagna himself, John Leguizamo. We talked to him today. He didn't think we'd get so into the weeds on his movies. He was very excited to talk about some of them. So we're going to be airing that on Sunday.
Did he talk Spawn?
We did talk Spawn.
We did talk some Spawn.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we did. We did. And then he said,
did you talk to Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar?
We did not get to that, no. No.
Okay.
We did not. We did talk Super Mario Brothers, though.
We did. Rest in peace, Bob Hoskins.
Talked about I literally said rest in peace, Bob Hoskins, to him.
And he acknowledged it.
He did.
Yeah. Did he say it was a mess?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, he kind of recounted stories that have been told before about him smashing Bob Hoskins' fingers because he was like kind of drunk driving
a
truck.
Well, Hoskins
got him drunk. Yeah. No, there weren't any crazy stories that we hadn't heard, but just hearing him tell them again is quite a delight, especially to us. So, yeah, we'll be talking to John Leguizamo on Sunday. John Lasagna.
Chef?
Mm-hmm. We did talk chef.
Chef John Lasagna.
Yeah. And we did not bring him microwavable lasagna, which we thought about doing. We thought about bringing a microwave bowl lasagna. We thought maybe second interview.
Yeah,
we
can that's big time second interview talk. And he liked us, so I think he'll come back.
Yeah, yeah. This episode, before we get into news, and we got one of the weirdest news stories we've ever talked about. By the way, speaking of people, CGI actors, we're gonna be talking that in a minute. I'm excited to get to that one. Hear some takes. But this episode is brought to you in part by Let Go. LETGO. That's right. Let Go is the fastest growing mobile marketplace to buy and sell locally. I've used Let Go multiple times. Had to sell old furniture when I moved. Good furniture, but wouldn't fit my new apartment. If you're looking to sell, Letgo gives you an opportunity to turn your unused items into experiences. If you're looking to buy, Letgo gives you access to a lifestyle that you'd otherwise maybe not be able to afford. Letgo is the go-to place to help you through life changes such as moving, back to school, new parents, newlyweds, etc., etc. Just throw it up there, sell it, people will buy it. And the other way around, you can buy stuff as well. Download the Letgo mobile app at letgo.com/Barstool and tweeted us to tell us what you'll do with the extra money you're making off Let Go. You got to do it. It's a great way to get rid of things. Very easy.
Extremely easy, yeah.
You don't have the hassle of all these other places that you'd have to go. Won't name them, but you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you use Let Go. Very easy. Upload a picture, upload a couple pictures, sell it. People will be right there, pick it up, buy it for you. You get stuff for it. Or the other way around, you go buy it yourself. Let's get into the first piece of news. Bad Boys for Life. Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah, there's a movie.
The third Bad Boys movie. We've talked about it before. The first trailer was pretty fucking awesome. Were you on for this trailer, Large?
No, I was not. I'd seen the trailer and we spoke about it when it came out just because we sit back to back, but I wasn't on the show for it.
Well, there's a new trailer. Mm-hmm. We already mentioned what the synopsis for this movie is. Let me pull it up and just give you a little reminder, folks. Old school cops Mike Lowry and Marcus Burnett team up to take down the vicious leader of a Miami drug cartel. Newly created elite team AMMO, A-M-M-O, of the Miami Police Department, along with Mike and Marcus, go up against the ruthless Armando Armas. And it's like a... It feels like a reverse, like 21 Jump Street type idea where they're working with young people. I think like Vanessa Hudgens is in this. This trailer, a little more goofier than the first one, I think.
Yeah.
The first one felt a little more serious. This one tossed in some more humor to it. And I'm a little, I'm not out on this. It's a January release. It's going to fucking stink. It's going to be a lot of loud fucking explosions and shooting. Some classic Will Smith and Martin Lawrence comedic duo type things going on here, but I expected maybe it might be a little better than I thought, and then I saw this trailer and all my expectations are lowered again. This one didn't really hit as much for me. Felt a little more forced.
I could see that. I mean, I'm just happy Joe Pantoliano. He's back. That's
he came in and he's like,
make sure you don't blow anything up. Mm-hmm. Like he has that same exact thing. I saw the trailer too. There's a lot of like pink and purple smoke in the background. Mm-hmm. There's always like a plastic tarp somewhere. It seems like plastic tarps are very popular nowadays.
And Miami,
it's like
is a big breaking, time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Big thing. A lot of splash color. I'll see this. I'll see if they keep making them. I'll keep seeing them. Yeah, I kind of find these guys.
Does seem like this is the last one though.
Yeah, they do say Bad Boys for Life, which I feel like does imply that like this is the last.
And it's like one last ride. I think they tease too.
Well, yeah,
they brought the song back.
They did.
They brought the song back from Bad Boys 2. Mm-hmm. Which Susu, I think Yeah, that one, exactly. Phil, when I think Bad Boys, I think Phil Collins. Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel, the Bad Boys of Genesis. That's correct. Right, folks. This looked good. I don't think it's going to be a good movie, but I think this is a movie that's going to entertain me. I resonate with the part of being old and being in a workplace with younger people and feeling like I'm obsolete, so that's cool. I like it. This is up my alley. Now, I don't know if they can replicate the scenes of the rats having sex or the mice having sex from Bad Boys 2, but I don't think they should even try. The funny thing about it, that's a very nice Porsche, but we're not used to seeing like Porsches like that. Normally, like in movies, like they bring out the McLaren, they bring out something a little more exotic. So I like that they're sticking to the Porsche. You know, the 911 is a tried and true vehicle.
Yeah, I think they maybe they didn't get the same sponsorship some of the other movies have gotten with cars, because like what the Kia was making big waves in like what was the one from Black Panther you pointed out, Drill?
Oh, it's like they had Toyota and Lexus vehicles.
Yeah, and a very clear sponsorship.
No, Michael Bay. Maybe they don't have that car pole that Michael Bay has. He famously has that military pole with the Terminator movies. Not Terminator, that's on my Transformers movies.
Well, he had a Porsche in the first one and maybe the second one, but I definitely remember a Porsche. So, you know, it's kind of a nod back, you know, still driving the Carrera around. That's pretty neat.
It's nice to see Martin Lawrence getting some more work too, because he was good in, was it Beach Bum, right, for 5 minutes?
That's right.
Yeah, he was very entertaining in that.
He's very loud and yelly in this, which I know that's like his character, but it almost seems like that's all he's going to do in this movie.
It just kind of be like the goofy, fumbling guy. Yeah.
Fine. Like, do you prefer Bad Boys 2 or Bad Boys 1?
Yeah, I differentiate.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Godfather. I like to watch them together. I never watch them on their own. Mm-hmm. And Martin Lawrence got fat, and that's a little bit. I think we spoke about that right from the get-go.
And Will Smith looks
better than he did in Gemini. Bro,
essentially the same.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think he looks younger than he does in Gemini. Because Gemini Man, I guess they had to age him make the youth part seem a little bit more...
Yeah, because I mean, he has like a little gray in his hair too, and just he looks much different. But that's the thing. But still, compared to how different Martin Lawrence looks, Will Smith looks basically the same.
Yeah,
which is definitely like salt and pepper in the beard.
Fantastic, by the way.
I'm going to defend Martin Lawrence looks fine for a 53-year-old man. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm 47. I think Martin Lawrence made sure they didn't get him from a couple of different angles. You know, like everything's high up for no double chin. You'll see that. I mean, I think the lifts in the shoes and stuff. He gave up on this one, I think.
Smart. Just being smart.
I did it. I mean, I'm there. I stopped.
I mean, I'm there too. I'm 35. I'm done.
Look good.
Everyone who listens to this podcast thinks that you are just
some sort of hobgoblin,
disgusting gremlin of a creature.
Very normal looking man. Just likes to be self-deprecating.
I wear full body Spanx 24/7.
Skin colored Spanx, just meshed perfectly,
Spanx head to toe. Mm-hmm. Just the tightest, extra small Spanx you can think of. I shower in them and everything.
You're just like basically treating a gimp suit at this point.
They just rot off of me when they're done.
It's like shedding your skin.
Bad Boys for Life comes out January 17th.
Will it make a ton of money?
No,
I think it will.
I could see like 250, 300.
I think this will make good money. I don't think it'll be critically acclaimed, but I think in that month of January, we mentioned this before, the January movies coming out this year are tough.
Oh, really?
It's always a tough month, as our friends, they follow us on Twitter over at Red Letter Media, say it's fuck you, it's January. But these are the movies coming out in January 2020. The Grudge, an untitled Blumhouse movie, so we don't know, that could be good. Underwater, Like a Boss with Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne. The Informer with Joel Kinnaman. Sorry to Joel Kinnaman.
Our boy.
Doolittle.
Invisible Man.
Bad Boys for Life. The Gentleman. The Turning. The Rhythm Section, which we know was awful.
I'm turning. Don't turn.
I'm going to turn.
Trill's favorite would be Gretel and Hansel.
Turn. I'm doing it. You can't stop me from turning.
You know what? I take that back. If Gemini Man can make 162 off of the strength of Will Smith as an actor, I think Bad Boys for Life is going to do just fine. I think it'll do well, especially in that wasteland of movies with Gretel and Hansel.
Mm-hmm. It's not Hansel and Gretel. It's Gretel and Hansel. Isn't that cool?
They made it Gretel and Hansel.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it cool? Now you want to see it, right?
Yeah, that's novel.
You're like, it's the way they positioned each name. Yeah, I'm actually curious.
Sean Hobbs,
Riding Little Red.
What has more views on the Will Smith in YouTube? Because he releases the trailers on his own YouTube page.
He does.
Yeah, Bad Boys for Life has 18 million views. Where I mean, Gemini Man, it cannot have that much. Let's see, Gemini Man. It's not even on the first page of results. Oh, no, it has 10 million less views. The second trailer for Gemini Man, as opposed to Bad Boys. So, yeah, I think the hype for this will be bigger. I think it'll make money. So we'll see.
I agree.
Comes out in January.
I will see it first weekend.
Yeah, me too.
Oasis in a Wasteland, yeah.
I mean, this could be a bucket and a half of popcorn for me on this one. This will be fun, up and down. Here we go. Let's move on to the next one, though. How about this? From the director of Beasts of the Southern Wild, which... is very obvious watching the trailer, comes Wendy. The classic story of Peter Pan is wildly reimagined in this ragtag epic. I saw the title. We posted it. I thought we got DMCA'd, which for those out there who don't know what that terminology means, it means somebody sent a copyright notice to our Twitter. They did not. The tweet never went through. So I told Large, I said, there's a trailer we're going to be talking about tonight, a Peter Pan reimagining called Wendy, and I said it's dumb as shit, but that's because I was mad, and then I watched it and realized that they didn't actually copyright notice us, so now I like it. Like, I'm intrigued by this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I'll tell you what I don't want to see. A Peter Pan movie.
Yeah.
So, reimagining and retelling the story, which is an interesting story, I like that. And Beast of Southern Wild wasn't a perfect movie, but, I mean, it was very artsy and very different and unique and out there, and I'll always see something like that. So this is something, and it's a bit strange, but I enjoyed this trailer. This is a hell of a trailer.
It's intriguing. I mean, I thought the kids were about to commit suicide when they were threatening to fly. And
I had no fucking idea what was happening.
Something going on underwater, that's a little bit intriguing. Yeah. There's a Lord of the Flies.
I was
going
to say Lord of the Flies
going.
Is the first thing that came to mind when I watched the trailer.
Something like that. And then there seems to be old people getting taken advantage of. It's everything I really want in a movie. Kids almost committing suicide, sea monsters, old people getting taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Lord of the Flies. Yeah. That's all my thing.
Boom.
Throwing a little bit of Phil Collins and we're good.
Yeah, it's all we really need is some Phil Collins.
Yeah.
But again, as long as it's not a fucking Peter Pan movie, I'm okay with that. You can reimagine the story. I just don't want to see Captain Hook. I don't see the crocodile anymore. No. Get that shit out of here.
I never really liked Peter Pan too much. I don't know how you guys feel about the story in general. It was never really my thing.
I like some adaptations of Peter Pan. I think as far as the general non-copywritten properties are concerned, I'm assuming – Peter Pan's a little interesting because, you know, you got that whole, and I think that maybe like Wendy can be good from this standpoint. Like, I like movies that kind of get at to the wonderment of children and the concept of never growing up and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. I think that makes for, you know, maybe a heartwarming movie, and this could be it. And I certainly don't think things like Peter Pan live on ABC or Fox are good. Like, I don't want to see those adaptations of Peter Pan, but like, I think it translates pretty well into the big screen with, like, you know, flying and swashbuckling and a pirate with a hook for a hand. I think that's sick.
Sea shanties are back too. It's the perfect time.
Yeah, I mean, you guys just both crapped all over pirates a couple weeks ago.
We didn't crap all. We're pro sea shanty.
No, you were pro sea shanty. When we talk Pirates of the Caribbean. There
was pirates
some anti-pirates talk.
We said pirates need another 20-year gap before we're back into pirates.
Okay,
again.
Maybe
10-year gap.
Trill over here, he's advocating for some swashbuckling on screen.
I'm not saying that has to be the focal point of the movie. I don't think that's the main course. You go to Golden Corral. This is like the macaroni and cheese.
Ugh.
This isn't the 99-cent prime rib.
Large, have you been to Golden Corral?
When I was in college, I'm not.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't been since. I think that they might though get ahead of like trip on their own intellectual dicks with this one because it seemed like I couldn't follow where it was. Like there's that line between fantasy and reality and where they really are and. It might be one of those ones that gets you kind of caught up in this, I don't know, miasma of metaphors or something like that. Like, you know, something that I don't even feel comfortable saying.
It's something that I'm interested to see visually, especially on screen. Again, Beasts of the Southern Wild, I don't love that movie, but I love like the chances they took. Quvenzhané Wallace, well, I'll never say her name correctly. I apologize to her. She's an Oscar winner. She's done much more in her life than I have. She was amazing in that movie. But like, it wasn't a great movie to me. It was more about the elements, right? Like technical elements and visuals. And you know what, though? Sometimes that's okay with me if I want to go see something on screen that's different.
Who's Wendy geared towards? Who should go see? I have a 9-year-old daughter who kind of likes Peter Pan, but she kind of doesn't.
I was going to say film students will probably like this.
My 15-year-old kid who played Peter Pan at one point, maybe in a thing. Like, so now he's high school. Is it for him?
Yeah,
for the 23-year-old going out on a date?
Do you know this is for?
Who?
This is for someone who's going to go see The Lighthouse.
Yes, yeah, this correct. Is The Lighthouse. So I don't. This one doesn't make money, right? I don't know when they release
sure.
it.
No.
Yeah, so.
$40 million cap.
Is this the one that rakes in awards?
It might get some, again, Beasts of Southern Wild had some award love. So, and also, I feel like the reimagining of Peter Pan, like, if they went the Hansel and Gretel route, it would be just Pan Peter, right?
Yeah.
Like that, because Hansel and Gretel and Hansel, that's just a reimagining as well. So I do want to note that reimagining stories is cool when you do it in a way that's different, and not just kind of changing around the characters a little bit. Like, this is an actual reimagining. The Hansel and Gretel one, not as much.
Pan Peter sounds like a British breakfast or something.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious, doesn't it?
All right, get some Pan Peter.
Want some Pan Peter?
Strong pot of tea.
Some bangers.
Will you see this movie? Will you review this movie?
I'm not review, but definitely see.
I don't know if we'll review probably, this one.
We'll probably see it because it's going to be February.
We'll for sure see it. Yeah.
That's not a prolific time for us typically. So who knows? I think this is fine. I much prefer this to just straight focusing on Peter Pan, which at this point, like, I think we kind of know Peter Pan's deal.
We get the idea.
All right, so Peter Pan, a.k.a. Wendy, reimagining. We're doing it again. This time it's different, and there's a lot less Captain Hook. How about The Batman? They're almost done casting The Batman. We have Colin Farrell will be playing the Penguin, and Andy Serkis will be playing Alfred Pennyworth. Colin Farrell's the Penguin. Actually, let me just start off the top by saying something. Are we living in a bubble? Because it seems as though a lot of people think this movie is going to be complete trash. Have you noticed comments on our Instagram, Twitter? People are like, oh, this is going to be an amazing disaster. Why? Why are we saying that about this movie?
Good director, great cast. Good director. Makes sense.
Yeah, great cast. Right?
I like Zoe Kravitz. I like Jeffrey Wright. I like Andy Serkis. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to see Colin Farrell have to gain 40 pounds for this. I'd rather just put him in a fat suit. Like, I don't want to see that, how he went through.
It just brings up all of our value.
Yeah, he's like, I just did bread bowls for 30 days. I don't want to see that.
Never
that
thing. Yeah. I ate nothing but bread bowls.
30-day bread bowl. the South Bend beach diet.
Andy Serkis is a bit of a weird Alfred to me, but it's a younger Batman, which we haven't really seen. But then again, we did just see the youngest version of Batman ever in Joker, and that Alfred was like kind of the – well, we have someone in our office, Devlin, who's a huge – Alfred fan said it's the worst Alfred ever, which I would actually probably agree. Mm-hmm. The one in Joker stinks. But this one, it is a bit of a younger story, so I think Andy Serkis, I think, would fit that role. So I don't see him as much as Alfred, but it's Andy Serkis, so I'm just gonna trust it. Like, he's probably going to be amazing. I like both castings. I think they're both pretty damn good. The Colin Farrell one is unique and different. And him being in this weird, creepy role, I'm here for that. I like that.
No, I like every casting decision associated with this movie. I think a lot of the hate still comes from people having a bad opinion about Robert Pattinson.
Yeah,
and
from fucking
sorry
Twilight.
I feel that way. But I enjoy Robert Pattinson. And,
it's good.
You know, like, he's good. I mean, it could very well be a not good movie. Look, you know, we hype things up and things end up being shit, and then we pretend like we didn't hype it up. That's the game. That's what I do. But I like, and as term, like, I feel more comfortable about this than if they would have gone out and gotten a bunch of, like, just, I don't know, you say, like, obvious people for the roles, or like what they would consider to be splashy casting decisions. I don't think these are that splashy. I think they're solid names. I mean, Colin Farrell, like, you wouldn't consider that to be splashy, right? Like, he's not a splash guy.
No.
And I don't know if I'm using this correctly, but what about all the people who stan that Josh Gad guy?
Nice. Did
I
use that okay? That's true.
Yeah, you did good.
Was Josh Gad the splashy front runner that everybody wanted just because he was an adorable Olaf? And
they looked at him and they used to see, like, there's a big fat guy. He should play the Penguin. Like, that's just not how casting decisions work. Like,
right.
I'm sorry to say.
Right.
He joked about it. He actually tweeted a picture of the Penguin yesterday, like a Photoshop of him as the Penguin, but he did like a – It's like a thumbnail version of it. It's really pixelated. Mm-hmm. It's like some sort of commentary on it. But he denied it for a while. He was a popular casting, and that is the other tough thing when people do castings. They do like dream people in dream roles. Like, people can lose and gain weight. People can grow hair out, right? Mm-hmm. People can wear prosthetics.
No, they cannot.
No, they can't.
Can't grow hair out, asshole. I just used the word Stan. I was on a fucking high, and now I'm right back down. Jerk
you
off.
You can wear a wig. Yeah. You can
wear a wig. It's very true.
You can be made to look like a different person. So I think people do forget that sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's like people, you would use a picture of Robert Pattinson, for example. They used one from Good Time, or someone tweeted it, and they're like, hey, he's Batman now. They're like, that looks like Batman. Like, no. His gritty character in Good Time is not what he's going to look like in Batman. Like, you can look different in a role, and I do think that gets lost sometimes.
Gary Oldman got nominated for playing Winston Churchill. Like,
yeah,
Gary, giant fat guy wearing
Gary Oldman looked nothing like Winston Churchill, man. He was in the suit.
Yeah, but the guy who played the Penguin in the TV series when I was a kid, and Danny DeVito, I mean, they did.
That's fair. That's a fair counterpoint.
It is cool. You know, and I actually made that point when Gary Oldman or when Christian Bale played.
Moses?
No, Christian Bale just played fucking politician.
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I lost that for a second. So another guy who goes fat guys, and like everyone complains about when an Asian character is played by a white actress.
People complain about Henry Cavill playing Superman.
I'm old. I'm fat, and I'm bald. Get an old fat bald guy to play us old fat bald people. That's what I'm saying. It's fucking old fat baldism.
Category.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one fucking stands right. up. Hashtag it. Get it going.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
I should be fucking Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. Not literally fucking Dick Cheney. I should be playing Dick Cheney or guys of my ilk. And we should also, guys who look like me but shorter, should be playing Penguin. I won't hear anything more.
Will
about
you stand
it.
Up to Colin Farrell if he's in the office and say
sure,
that to him?
Sure, I will.
So that's that one. Andy Serkis, anything?
I think it's good casting.
I think we're fine with it.
Hey, Trill, folks, Trill. Remember this one?
No. Oh, what do you got? What do you got?
Hit it. I actually take offense to the Penguin casting. You see, my great-grandfather, he was an explorer, and he was actually killed in Antarctica by a feral penguin. Feral penguin.
I'm not laughing.
Joe just put his hand over his face.
That's just...
It just wiped it all the way to his neck. You got that one,
Troy? I like it. You know what?
They get better after that.
None of these are bad. They're all supposed to be bad, so inherently they're good.
That's exactly. True.
Mm-hmm. So if you think it's bad, you've been owned, because that's the point.
Yeah.
I stand it. Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman I liked.
Yep, another good casting. Sure. Again, they're all good castings. I don't know what, and maybe it is the Pattinson thing, Trill. I think you're probably right on that. People keep referring to this as a disaster, and as if like Joel Schumacher's back directing it. Mm-hmm.
Paul Dano, though? Really?
Yeah, we like Paul Dano.
Yeah.
The Riddler's a weirdo.
The one thing I find strange is that they're all being introduced now. Uh-huh. Like, I would have thought that like they'd have like one or two villains, like just Batman, that's it. But and then like introduce them more as presumably sequels would be made.
And they're still casting Harvey Dent.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're still casting Two-Face. So we already have like what, three villains in the tank and two protagonists. Like, it seems like a lot at once. Mm. But I'm assuming it's all going to work because I trust.
That would worry me more than anything is that it's too many people because. For the most part, with the exception of Avengers Endgame and all, which doesn't count because it's a team up movie, but like the solo movies with too many villains, we've seen typically Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. There have been issues, right? Like that has typically been a problem. So
focus on one thing at a time.
I worry there maybe a little bit, but otherwise I like what I see. Matt Reeves is a good fucking director too.
And you want to develop. Like Batman, obviously, right? And like, if you're taking away screen time from him to give like an equivalent amount of screen time to all these other villains, that kind of hurts that effort, right? Like, that makes it a little bit harder to do. And you want Pattinson to get like as much an opportunity as he can to shine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's move on before we have another ad read, and that is the Mighty Ducks. Let me take a little scan of the room here. Trebons, do you care about the Mighty Ducks?
I wouldn't say I don't care about them.
Okay. Large, do you care about
I've
the
never
Mighty
seen
Ducks?
It.
Okay. The Mighty Ducks is a movie franchise that is very panned from critics and beloved for nostalgia reason by audiences. I like the Mighty Ducks. I grew up Mighty Ducks. I like the Mighty Ducks. It's not like a life-altering movie for me, but they're going to be...
It's a TV cart movie. That's why people like it.
Yes. For sure. They will be rebooting it, and it will be a series on Disney+. Get used to hearing that uttered for everything. The series focuses on a 13-year-old boy when he gets kicked off the junior division Mighty Ducks team. His mom decides to start their own team, finding players, a coach, and a place to play. This is like the most generic thing I've ever heard. The original film
they
focused
also
on...
call themselves the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah. This is literally the plot that I wrote.
He just takes the team name away? He just copies the team name?
Oh, yeah, maybe you're... Maybe they're not called the Mighty Ducks.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, he gets kicked off the Mighty Ducks, and then he's got to be on the Mighty Ducks, right? Unless the Mighty Ducks are I don't know. Well, okay. Sorry. I just.
There might be a typo.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. the original film focused on reckless young lawyer Gordon Bombay, who, after getting arrested for drunk driving, he must coach a kids' hockey team for his community service. It's back, and I'll tell you what, folks. This is not even a folks joke. I will not watch one episode of this. I'm going to be here's what's going to be really disappointing to people. When folks looking for nostalgia, this is a guess too. I won't put anything on this guess, no bets. This is not going to be geared toward the people who grew up with Mighty Ducks. Not at all.
Trying to find a whole new audience.
This is going to be the Fuller House. This is Fuller House to Full House. This will be this to Mighty Ducks. It is going to be for a younger audience.
My kids watched every Fuller House. One of them. They can't wait for the next whatever to come out whatever. They love them.
Oh, did I thought, I don't know.
Then they went back and watched Full House, and they didn't like it as much as the reboot.
Interesting.
So it that one worked. I mean, you know, Mighty Ducks, like even when you read that little tagline for it, I forgot that the guy was arrested for drunken driving. Like, that has a grittiness to it.
This is not going to be for people our age.
The article I just saw is Netflix has canceled Fuller House after 5 seasons, so most viewers abandoned it after season 1. So
really?
That's
my kids
tough
stick with it.
Kids just not good critics. Hate to say it. Yeah. The young largest.
Apologize.
Again, this is for sure for a younger audience. I don't know if you agree on that, Trill. I think this is like the Fuller House idea, where people who grew up with Full House, they're like, oh, Full House is coming back. And then they're like, "Oh, this is not meant for me."
I think it's got to be on the younger side because I'm still not convinced that nostalgia play is sustainable for a run of a series. Mm-hmm. I think like if it's a nostalgia play, people watch one episode and then they sit back on their IKEA Fjorn chair and just fart into the synthetic leather and say, "God, it's really not that good. This isn't as good as I remember it being." And I think for them to be able to sustain the series, they'd have to appeal to a younger audience, which involves music and involves sports. So, you know, maybe it'd be like a High School Musical sort of thing.
Billie Eilish playing while they shoot some puck, or whatever the proper terminology is.
Shoot some puck.
I'm not a hockey guy, so this movie never resonated with me too much.
Do some
puck work.
you guys want to go to Gold's Gym and shoot some puck?
Shoot up some puck? No, that's a different terminology, I think.
Is this filler for Disney Plus? I mean, for people who are like, they just need
you're
to fill up the page
with
like
Hocus Pocus, and you're going to see all this shit.
It's a splashy name. It's a headline grab, right? For just a day. Like, this gets you a day of headlines in 2019, and then it'll come out in the streaming service, and nobody will talk about it. I could be wrong, but I feel like this. I've kind of become very cynical on a lot of these nostalgic things. As much as it's like fun to see something from my childhood come back, I realize things aren't as good as I remember them being, and I'm just like, wow, like they spent money on this Mighty Ducks thing, they sure did, and it sucks ass. But if it ends up being good, I will eat some duck, folks. That's supposed to be crow, but duck.
I got the scenario. The joke. That was worse than both of my folks' jokes.
The game is hockey, and the team are the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And does Disney even own that hockey team anymore? Yeah. Anaheim Ducks? I feel like they don't.
You're quacking me up, Trill. That's a good one.
I don't actually think they do.
No, remember when Disney owned the Angels and the Anaheim Ducks, and then they made movies off of both of them because they got to get that sweet-ass synergy, maybe? Disney needs to own more stuff. This is something I've been saying. I don't think they own enough stuff, and I think they should just own more stuff.
Just own a full football team. They could do it. They could buy out most major sports teams. It just don't take some time.
I just don't know who's going to click on this when they get onto Disney Plus in between like The Mandalorian and all these other
things. They should move the Chargers to Orlando.
Yeah, the Orlando Chargers.
Yeah, just have the Chargers play at the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex on the Disney World properties, right next to all the cheerleading conventions that come through town.
Even Iger kind of said it himself, they're doing too much too fast. I think this is one of those things that just kind of gets lost in the shuffle. I really doubt it pops too much.
What if it is good, though? Like, are we prepared for this future where we're going to have to talk about this being good? Because I don't think I am. I've shit on it so much, I can't go back now. Jack Reacher, never go back.
Never go back. I think even if it is good, I'm just not going to watch. It's not meant for me.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher, he's going back. No, I'm not.
He told you not to. He said never go back.
Never go.
I'm not going back. I swear to God, I'm not.
There's not a single actor attached to this, right?
I don't think anyone important, no. It's definitely not like Emilio Estevez coming back.
Yeah, so they're making this for...
He's definitely not coming back.
Emilio Estevez comes back for the first episode. It's like, it's hockey coach Gordon Bombay. And he's like, well, you know, when I linked up with his team first, I was busted for drunk driving.
Or he gets caught again.
I'm mandated by the court to tell you that my BAC was 1.8.
This episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool is brought to you by Raycon. That's right. Look around you. Look around you, Large. Look around. Mm-hmm. Sure, look around.
Well, that's crazy, dude.
It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, which is insane, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half price of any other premium wireless earbuds in the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, the E25, is their best one yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for on-the-go listening and taking phone calls. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems, which is for nerds. You can't have any wires or stems.
Sucks.
We have a guy, one guy in our office, friend of the pod, KB. He has wireless. Wired
everything.
Wired earbuds. Loser.
Loser.
Wired earbuds.
Wired everything.
Large Beat stuffs them in the locker now and then. You've heard me talk about them as a company co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg. You hear Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
J.R. Smith, NBA champ. Mm-hmm.
Heard of him.
They're all obsessed with Raycon.
Legend.
Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest in Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon, RAYCON.com/lights. That's buyraycon.com/lights. All right, move on. Here we go. This is a weird story. And I don't think I like this at all. I actually think I very much dislike this. And that's not even a snap take. Because we read things now and then that we have snap takes on. The Scorsese Marvel thing, for example. My opinion changed on that after I actually read it and figured out what he was talking about and realized that he's right. Or not even right. Just I got his point. Here's the story. Let me read this, okay? Headline. James Dean reborn in CGI for Vietnam War action drama.
Ugh.
James Dean, who died in a 1955 car crash at the age of 24. 1955. He's making an unexpected return to the big screen. This is from The Hollywood Reporter, by the way. Don't sue us for me reading this word for word. The cultural icon known for Rebel Without a Cause and East of Eden has been posthumously, I said that right, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Large? Okay, you're smarter than
me.
Sir. Cast in the Vietnam-era action drama Finding Jack. The project comes from the filmmaker's own, I don't know how to pronounce her name, so I'm not going to try, own recently launched production house Magic City Films, which just sounds sketchy to begin with, which obtained the rights to use Dean's image from his family. I want to note that. The family did sign off on this. Canadian VFX banner Imagine Engine will be working alongside South African VFX company MOI Worldwide to recreate what the filmmaker described as a realistic version of James Dean. This is what I really don't like.
Voiced by Bobcat Goldthwait, which is really, really weird.
It's going to be voiced by somebody different.
Hey, guys!
He's not,
what's going on?
Not alive anymore. Adapted by Maria Sova from Gareth Crocker's novel, Finding Jack is based on the existence and abandonment of more than 10,000 military dogs at the end of the Vietnam War. Dean will play a character called Rogan, considered a secondary lead role. Here is what I really don't like. This is one of the biggest horseshit things I've ever read in my life. No exaggeration. We searched high and low for the perfect character to portray the role of Rogan, which has some extreme complex character arcs, and after months of research, we decided on James Dean. That is such bullshit.
I think they search pretty hard.
Like, that is... You should find better people or fire yourself. Because this is clearly a stunt. Like, clearly stunt. Taking advantage of this, of the not even of the family, because the family signed off on it. Like, this is... I hate being bothered by this, but this really bothered me when I wrote it. And it, like, when I first read it, I'm like, oh, this just seems like inevitable. But then when you read that line, that we couldn't find anyone else but this person who's no longer alive. And then here's another comment. This is from Mark Rossler, CEO of CMG Worldwide, who represents Dean's family alongside more than 1,700 entertainment, sports, music, and historical personalities, including the likes of Christopher Reeve, Neil Armstrong, shout out to Purdue, Burt Reynolds. This opens up a whole new opportunity for many of our clients who are no longer with us. This story is insane.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot more insane real-world things going on, so like this will get some play for a bit. But this is a fucking crazy story. I'm not on board with this at all.
Folks, I haven't seen a Jimmy Dean this fake since Boogie Nights.
Got that. Trill's got it.
Trill, what are your thoughts here? You said, like, you didn't like this.
I'm like, penis joke? I immediately get that one.
That's the one that always clicks through immediately, right?
No, I don't like this. You know, like, I get it, like, legally, I guess they're going through the proper channels to do it, but I also think this is one thing where maybe the law hasn't caught up to technology yet in terms of what can be done.
It's like a Black Mirror thing.
Yeah, it feels, I don't know, you get into this whole conversation about it, right? And I know it's, like, on certain gradients in terms of what's acceptable, because certainly... Like, there's some hypocrisy from our standpoint that, you know, if they're going to have Carrie Fisher and roles she already filmed, you know, use her footage there, maybe supplement it, or even like the Tarkin thing for Rogue One. Like, it's been done, and I think we've liked that. But this one feels weirder because
it's not a homage, it's like it's taking advantage.
It's so transparently just a publicity stunt to me. Like, nobody would know about this movie if it weren't for this particular news item coming out. And, you know, I'm not going to speak to the whole ethical implications on, like, what this means for, you know, current actors being essentially replaced by the estate of actors have already been have already passed away for, like, you know, probably cheaper than how they'd be able to afford newer ones. But the cynic in me feels dirty. It feels like a big PR stunt. And then it also just feels like there's no way they can do this and make it look good at all.
So I actually don't have a tremendous problem with it, only because I put myself sort of into, like, the James Dean family shoes, where, like, if he was my grandpa and a movie studio comes up to me and says, like, hey, I'm going to give you, like, $10,000 to use your grandpa's likeness. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I don't care. Like, I'm going to get an X amount of money, extra income, just for them to use their likeness, and it's not going to affect me really whatsoever. Like, is it going to make people think less of James Dean that he was used by the studio? Probably not. And I think that if you're, like, a viewer, your best way to combat this is just don't watch the movie. I don't think it's to fumble this family's bag, which, like, I mean, I obviously don't know anything about the Dean's family situation right now. I'm assuming they're not making a fuck ton of royalties off, like, Rebel Without a Cause or anything like that. So, I mean, extra money for the family, sure. I don't care. Like, I won't watch this movie regardless because it seems gross to me and I don't really like the idea on principle. But I don't think the way to combat that, again, is to, like, take away the Dean family money.
I like it.
I don't know. I mean, go ahead, Lorge.
I there's no way I'm seeing a movie that's based on the fact that over 1,000 military dogs were left abandoned at the end of the Vietnam War. That's the type of movie that I would not go to see for a host of reasons. I love dogs. I don't want to see them abandoned. I don't want to see the eventual reuniting of James Dean and Lucky. But this is the only reason I'm ever going to pay attention. I think... Who's Seth Meyers is the late night guy, and so his new comedy special is going to have the ability to
skip politics.
I don't find Seth Meyers funny at all. I just don't like him, and it's not for his politics. It's not for anything. It's just for his face and his comedy. I just don't like. I don't enjoy Seth. But I'm probably going to watch it to see what that button's about, and I'm going to do the same thing with this, and it's going to be a guilty pleasure. And I know that's what they want me to do. I'm falling right into the trap.
I mean, I'm going to fucking see it. Of course.
I don't know if, like, 30 years from now, there's going to be one actor who's able to emote perfectly. It's probably going to be Andy Serkis, and then just going to overlay every other actor's. You know, this is a hologram Tupac at the concert. You know, he all of a sudden comes out and does something, and everyone goes fucking bananas. Crazy, for a hologram Tupac with hologram Amy Winehouse.
I think my thing is then, like, we know what it is. True, like you're spot on. Like, it's so clear what this is. Say it then. Like, I'd be like, if you just came out and said that, like, we made a movie that's meant for James Dean, and we think the world was James Dean was taken away from the world too soon. Like, we want to, you know, with the respect from the family and the consent from them, we want to make that. Like, that's fine. Don't fucking bullshit me that you couldn't find
that. That's
anyone.
Preposterous.
Like, that's just like,
Colin Farrell was obviously available.
Yeah, I
mean, that's like, Genesis.
Brendan Fraser is available. We know he's available.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So, like, don't sit here and spew me that bullshit. Right. People are pretty pissed off about this, too, though, I will say. Chris Evans, I know, spoke out about it. But you're also not wrong, Drew. I will see this movie. I'm going to fucking see it. But I'm going to be for the reasons they want. But I'm still going to read the story and go, that's fucking bullshit.
I'm not seeing Wendy, and I'm not seeing the Mighty Ducks.
Fair
I'm going to see this stupid movie about, you know,
yeah, you're going to see the Mighty Ducks. You're going to, next Tuesday when Disney Plus launches, by the way, sponsors Disney Plus, Bob Iger. He stopped lining our pockets after he made up all those fake Disney Plus shows. Bob Iger stopped sending us checks.
Oh, fuck.
Large is going to text me next Tuesday and be like, hey, Mighty Ducks premiere yet? Is that next year? Is that out yet?
Fair enough.
I just, I don't know, like, what kind of control do you give up? Like, Does the family have a say in how he's portrayed, or
they just give him the naming rights, so I'm assuming they just get everything they want. They don't have creative control, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but what if they changed the movie and, like, now it wasn't about dogs in Vietnam, now it's about, like,
Fast and Furious movie?
Cats in Korea?
Like a murderer, a psychopathic murderer is played by James Dean. Like, that's probably not something his family would want to be associated with. Like, I'm sure there's guardrails in place to say, like, okay, we're giving you the rights to play this particular character under this it's pretense, more just like thinking about like that whole legal arrangement, because I completely understand it, why actors don't like it, right? Because you know, like, this might be a microscopic case of it, but you know nobody wants their profession automated, right? Like, nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. So I understand where they're coming from, but it just feels like dumb world.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's I hope the technology behind it is like, I watched Tron the other day, Jeff Bridges in Tron. Like, I hope it's that when he takes off the helmet and he kind of looks claymated a little bit. I hope it's just, and there's nobody alive right now who's going to really remember. I think James Dean, you said, died in 1955, right? Car crash. Mm-hmm. So there's nobody who's going to really take umbrage with it, because they don't really remember East of Eden that well. Mm-hmm. That they're going to say they didn't capture the nuances of them. So I don't know. I find this more fascinating than any.
It is fascinating.
They could have done.
Don't get me wrong on that. It is fascinating.
There should be two James Deans. Make a Gemini Man. Make an older James Dean too. An aged up one.
Yeah. Out of another Dean.
And
I don't mean to bring this up in a inappropriate way, but do you think they pander? Like, James Dean was a huge
sex symbol.
No, he was a huge, like, gay icon, because he was one of the few guys back then who sort of, you know, had like this, you know, sexuality about him that was undefined.
In a movie about dogs, I feel like that's not going to come up too much.
But do you think, like, and I don't know if people show up to movies with Cher because she's a gay icon, but I think James Dean is a little bit different.
There's
a little pander there.
There's
trust.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will for this, because of what it is.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like they're going to play they're not going to pander. I think they're going to play very safe, and the draw itself will be the concept of what they're doing. But in the future, I see that for sure. I mean, listen, but again, like, that the guy representing all these dead people. Like,
I love that fact where he's like, this is a huge opportunity. I got Burt Reynolds lined
guy,
up.
This guy has been collecting just this portfolio of people who no longer are alive as actors for agents. People are like, why do you have this? And this is it. This is his time to shine. Oh, jeez. Last thing. Fantastic Beasts.
Pass.
Where do I find them?
Well, we don't know, because they stopped giving a fuck about the Beast halfway through the first movie. Fantastic Beasts 3 officially moving forward. They're going to start filming in the spring. And they will continue, apparently, to make all five movies.
Sure.
just I'm giving like, up. I don't care about this anymore. We're gonna watch it. It'll probably be like make like $500 million, but I've lost so much interest in this. It's tantamount.
After that second one though, I kind of liked where it was going.
What the fuck did you like about where it was going?
It just seems like it's getting into what could actually be an interesting part of this Fantastic Beasts saga. And I would be more disappointed now if they decided to quit on him.
Well, they can't.
I'd be giving up. I'm glad they're not giving up. Keep on doing this.
They can't. Because it's still going to make money regardless, and they've invested too much money in it already. So they weren't going to regardless.
So we know what's going to happen. So, like, I'm just not going to be disappointed at something I know is inevitable like this. I'm going to try to have an open mind and say maybe the story can get better. Maybe J.K. Rowling has taken some advice on screenwriting is improving, and maybe it's now going to get into a part of the Fantastic Beasts lore that is a lot more interesting than what we've seen so far.
Just give me more Kowalski, whatever his name is.
Jacob Kowalski? Jacob,
what's his real name? Dan Folger.
I've lost all my beasts.
No, he's the American one, so they're all British, Don't forget. He's the only American there. I think his wife or his girlfriend is, actually.
That's why I'm talking like, oh gosh, oh I don't know. I don't even know
my
what
beasts are gone.
Is.
I said now another Razzmatazz fan. I lost all my beasts.
Have you seen my beasts?
Do your kids give a fuck about these?
I think my 12-year-old, who's big.
Trill, for interrupting that impression, by the way.
Yeah. I was a big Lord of the Rings as I was, so I got him into that, and he really got into it, and really got into The Hobbit. So if he saw these and all of a sudden wanted to see the third, I'd binge watch the first two and go to third. I've only seen them from a distance.
From the back of the theater?
With a raincoat. No, like I've only seen them in bits and pieces, however, whichever ones are on TV. These are like the Chronicles of Narnia movie. Like I didn't even know if they completed that. There were supposed to be three of them, and I'm looking now, they did.
I don't remember the third one at all.
Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, then there was Prince Caspian, then The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
That's not a real movie.
That's a real one, so that's 2010. Mm-hmm. So it was 2005, 2008, 2010. The first one grossed $745, second one did $419, and then the third one surprisingly did $415 worldwide. So they still made movies, still they made money on it, and I kind of compare that. You know, like I don't necessarily ever want to watch those movies, but if my kids got into it, I'd go take them to it and see it with them, I guess.
Would be smart to wrap this story up in one more movie. Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. Like, you made less money on this one. Because there was a franchise called the Divergent franchise.
Yes, I remember those. And my kids like those.
They released the last that my one kids on are demand.
Okay.
It never came out in theaters. Mm. And it was supposed to be a big deal. They made a huge deal about her casting. And she called Jennifer Lawrence asking about advice on, you know, how she was in The Hunger Games. And the last one was like on DirecTV on demand, like release. So
next to Fuller House.
You don't. Yeah. Though J.K. Rowling, I mean, a fucking treasure if there ever was one.
But if she knocks it out of the park, I'd go see it. Like, to Trill's point, if all of a sudden this all comes together and it gets, like, rave reviews, I will go and watch the first two and then gladly go with a cloak on. Like, I'll get into it and go see the third one.
Let J.K. Rowling make a Terminator movie because she loves retconning things.
She does.
Loves changing her own stuff.
Loves
up.
To post.
It's her favorite.
Won't stop posting for any reason.
Let's talk Terminator. Terminator Dark Fate was released
that one. Gotcha.
Yeah. It was released last week. A big budget, $185 million, has not made it back yet. It's at $129 million. It is going to be a struggle for this movie. In Mexico City, a newly modified liquid Terminator, the Rev-9 model, arrives from the future to kill a young factory worker named Danny. Also sent back in time is Grace, a hybrid cyborg human who must protect Ramos from the seemingly indestructible robotic assassin. But the two women soon find some much-needed help from a pair of unexpected allies, seasoned warrior Sarah Connor and the T-800 Terminator. Linda Hamilton back, Arnold Schwarzenegger back, though he's been back before. This is not his first return rodeo. Yeah. Mackenzie Davis, who you may recognize from a multitude of things, including Blade Runner 2049. Gabriel Luna plays the villain, and Natalia Reyes plays Danny Ramos. Terminator Dark Fate. I'm going to come out and say something, because Ken Jack and I, people have said that we were crapping on this movie the other day. Trill asked, Trill made a statement, said, I think it's okay. Or I've heard it's okay. And I said, I don't know about that. I had to go back and watch this movie again because I felt like I was being unfair about it. And we won't spoil it right off the bat. But there's a spoiler part in this movie that made me not very much like it.
And it made me actually like it more.
Which is interesting. And I think, Large, you're in the same boat. I didn't like it for...
It made me like it more, that boat, right?
It turned me off because of what the ramifications it has with T2, which is one of the best movies ever made. I went back and watched it again. So I thought it was kind of borderline. I went back and watched it again with a more open mind because I don't like reviewing movies like this is dependent on the one before, unless it's a strict part one, part two. With a more open, objective mind, I think it's very much more than okay. I think it's close to being a considered good movie. I gave Terminator Dark Fate a 70 out of 100. There's a lot in this that I like. But it's also, like when you pull it, it works with the Terminator franchise, right? For the first time in a while, because most of them have been trash. But it works in that. By itself, it works as a movie, but a little bland. It's not very fresh, but a lot of it is enjoyable. I think all the additions to the cast are great. The return of Linda Hamilton is great. It lacks. It's still a huge step down from the originals. But I do like it. Had a more objective, open mind the second time around, which I'll get into in spoilers. But I gave it a 78 out of 100. What about you, Ken Jack?
I gave it a 73. Sticking to my original score. I think it's good, not great. I think the tagline that they use for the entire movie or the entire marketing campaign for this is just that, like, hey, look, it's better than... It's every Terminator movie that's come between now and T2. I think that's correct. Like, I think that it was more enjoyable than T3, Genesis, and Salvation. I think it's better than those for sure. And I think that the returning cast is always great. Like, Linda Hamilton, I feel like, hasn't been in anything really for, like, 20 years, and I think she kind of fell back into the role really well. Arnold, like, really not much you have to do there. He's Arnold. He works. And I think that the new cast, like, Mackenzie Davis is awesome. I think she was really cool. And Gabriel Luna, are we doing that this episode?
Yeah.
So Gabriel Luna, who we interviewed for this, is I think he was really cool because like his Terminator, Rev 9, is like it's not really the same Terminator. It's not like Arnold Terminator where it's like this big, bulky, like gonna beat you with force sort of Terminator. It's also not like the Robert Patrick Terminator where it's all like smooth and sleek. It's like somewhere in between. I think he has his own unique take on it, and he's like super laser focused, and it's awesome. I just think that at the end of the day, this movie isn't very unique, and like the one thing I was kind of looking for going into this was, and we're gonna get something different out of this one, because every Terminator that's come between now and T2 has been like, it feels like it's kind of rehashing. We're doing like not enough new. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. And it kind of just did the same thing. Like, they get introduced as your new storyline or new timeline and everything, but they're doing the same exact bullshit, and it just didn't feel like I was very impressed with anything other than good action sequences, solid acting from the returning and new crew, but it's just kind of a disappointment.
True.
Yeah, okay, so this is the third best Terminator movie, right? I'm just going to stake that in the ground right there. It was about 65 for me. This was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I still don't think it was particularly great. It definitely was the Force Awakens Terminator version where they took T2 and did the T2 thing in 2019. And I thought there were parts that worked. I thought there was a lot of talking in the movie, which was okay. It wasn't as much action as I would have thought. And I was pretty ambivalent on like all the performances. I thought it was just fine. Like I thought it could have gone way worse. It was almost like a relief when I was watching this one.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like that. I'm like, okay, this is a pretty competent Terminator movie. But as I was watching it, I kind of going back to our conversation on Sunday, I start thinking about how much I really don't care that much about Terminator anymore. But as a movie, I thought it's good. It's definitely worth seeing. If you're a Terminator fan, I think it does the series well with the like where they could go. Like I'm glad they got rid of like a lot of the convolutions that had happened since then and whatnot. And it's fine. It's a fine movie.
I do want to get back to what you said about ending the franchise, because that's a very big point of discussion, I think, here. But we'll get into that after. Larch.
I'm 63, so I'm a low man, which is surprising for me because I wasn't a fan, and I'm a fan of the other Terminator movies. I guess I'd go 2-1. I might even take like Salvation above this one. That was the Christian Bale one, wasn't it?
I agree with you. I do think Salvation is better than people give it credit for, but I don't still think it was that good.
Right, but and I thought this one was worse.
Interesting. Okay.
I didn't like Linda Hamilton at all in this. I don't know what it was, and I'm not going to get too granular because we do a spoiler alert type thing afterwards. I didn't like anyone too much. I thought that the blonde Mackenzie Davis. Yeah, I thought she was very good. I didn't like the inconsistencies, and again, total suspension of belief going into these things. I'm all for it, but the way that the uprising was being led by one particular person, I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't think any of those little quips hit, like the Hasta La Vista babies, or I'll be back, and we'll talk about that too. I'll be back, and I just drink myself to sleep. I didn't find any of that shit charming for some reason. Just didn't like this movie.
So. That's fair. Yeah, no, very, very fair. Mm-hmm. Let's just get into spoilers then. The audience gave it an 82, by the way. Mm. So the audience is the high man. The audience gave it a pretty high score. I was very surprised by that when I pulled that up today. We had not put the vote out until today. I was very surprised that that's what they gave it. But, all right, if you don't want spoilers for Terminator, Dark Fate, I would skip ahead here.
To avoid spoilers for Terminator Dark Fate, skip to 133.01. All right, this is the craziest Guy's Grocery Games watch I've ever had while editing the podcast. I'm just editing away. I look up, fucking Ninja, the Fortnite streamer, is on Guy's Grocery Games. What the fuck?
All right, spoilers. We'll just start off with the fucking first part of the movie. I've talked to Large about it. I've talked to Kenji about it. Trill, the beginning of the movie, it's Sarah Connor talking about how she avoided the end of the fucking world, basically. She's on the beach hanging out with her son, hanging out with John. It's Eddie Furlong, like, de-aged.
Doesn't look bad.
It looks pretty fucking good.
I thought it looked better than most movies.
Reference for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're essentially at the same, like, cabana that they were at for getting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
And the T-800 did not get the memo.
Yes.
Comes into that present day and just flat out kills John Connor.
It was awesome.
But that's what he did. It wasn't
present day, right? It was 98.
Yeah. Well, the present day of when where they were. It was 1998, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. The second Terminator that they sent back, that Skynet had sent back before the timeline was altered.
Yeah. So he is killed and it just kind of just shits on the second movie. And that's where, like, initially I had an issue. Initially, like, it started out in a way that I kind of just didn't love what they were doing. And that is not how I typically rate and review movies. Like, I looked at it more of a fan perspective. And that's why I kind of went back and like, all right, let me not watch this movie in a sense of, like, well, what the fuck did they just do? Because then when I watched it back.
Where did the T-800 go?
The T-800? It got shot, John.
Did it just walk into the water?
It walked away and apparently saved someone else because they were in, like, Guatemala, right? Like, they saved some lady who he ends up, quote-unquote, marrying later.
But don't, like, nobody chased after the T-800? Like, not that you could do anything about it, but he just kind of walked away and then everybody
he dropped
was
the gun, so maybe they were like, ah, whatever, guess he's done.
Maybe there was a bunch of other muscular Austrians on the beach that day.
Yeah, they couldn't
differentiation.
Find him.
Yeah. But he did essentially commit the murder. And then, to your point, walked back into the water and then popped up somewhere else and wound up raising a family.
Exactly.
Like, that's the part, to me, that got a little bit strange where he was...
Was a little weird.
He was a housewife. He was a stay-at-home dad. And I know that, he's raising somebody else's kid, but he was kind of like a stay-at-home dad and stuff. And that's where it started to lose me, too, because he had emotion, yet he didn't have emotion. And
he became human, basically.
That was part of the CPU.
Kind
of
half-assed it, but there was so much more stuff that he had learned that I think faking emotions, remember my wife does it all the time, like I think that would be something that would have been almost easy to do on his road to raising a kid and wearing a lot of flannel and splitting wood in the forest, right? Mm-hmm.
This fucking franchise loves retconning and changing things.
Mm-hmm.
Partly out of necessity.
It. Yeah, you got it. It's so sloppy if you don't. I mean, it's confusing time travel.
But I think it worked in this case because, like, the one thing I was going into again with this movie is, like, are they going to do something different? Because we've seen this John Connor bullshit now in, like, five movies, and none of that, like, anything after T2 has been just, like, rehashing. And, like, we want something new. And I'm like, oh shit, they just killed John Connor. we're finally going to get something new. It's going to be fresh. And then they just fell back into doing the same exact thing they did.
Same exact thing.
With a new person. And instead of Skynet, it's what is it? Legion? Yeah.
So when I went back again, like, I'm okay. I watched a movie that I thought was okay. It was more okay. It was a good. It was a decent movie. It's a decent movie, but there's nothing fresh about it. You're right. They did the same. They fell back into the same stuff. They did a good job at it, but there's nothing there that's going to make you go, wow, or really stick out and stand out to you. Trill, the beginning thing for you, you said it's a necessity, which I would tend to agree with. Now, it just makes me say the movie's not necessary. Like, we just don't have this fucking movie. But how did it play for you when you first saw it?
I kind of knew where the movie was going. But it didn't really do anything to T2. Like, the whole movie, like, I came away thinking, I'm like, wow, like, humans dying is pretty inevitable in this universe, mm-hmm. right? It's going to happen. The computers somehow in this particular universe are going to kill the humans regardless of whatever happens. It might be delayed another 10 to 20 years, but something's going to become sentient. And so then I was just like, you know, like, what's the point? Like, why don't they all just, like,
stop,
give up?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, just give up.
Her explanation that, remember, was when she gets explained that, Sarah Connor, she just goes, like, when will they ever learn? It's like, well, maybe there can be a deeper discussion about this, like, stopping AI at some point. Because, I mean, eventually Common, which, ironically, he's in Terminator Salvation, will help AI take over the universe.
But I thought it worked. I mean, like, to the positives of this movie, like, I'm glad, like, we got John Connor out of the way because he's been the elephant in the room for the last 30 years.
Exactly.
And so they addressed that. And so I didn't really mind where they took it. It's kind of just like this inevitability of the rise of these machines in this universe that we have to deal with. And I think that's fine. There's always going to be a battle. And that's one of the takeaways is, like, nothing's ever really over. You know, we've been watching Watchmen a lot, but, like, nothing's ever really over. So I thought the first part of it worked well. I did think, like, the whole slow motion shot was, you know, him walking into the cabana, and I thought the aging facial reference technology on it looked kind of weird. I didn't even, like, think it was Arnold at first. I thought it was just, like, a cosplay. Like, somebody just got out of Comic-Con and was like, oh, you John Connor.
He looked yoked. The CGI representation, very veiny. Looked like Ken Shamrock when you guys had him earlier.
Striated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
I am. Are you guys Linda Hamilton fans? And if you are, why? I don't know. I don't remember what. And I'm old. I don't know what Linda Hamilton was good in.
I think she was good in the original Terminator. I don't think she was particularly strong in this, but I don't think she was, like, I don't think I expected some crazy performance.
Yeah, I thought she slipped in fine. Like, I honestly, you could offer me $100 to have an opinion on her in this movie. I don't think I have any opinion. Like, I think she was fine.
But I think a lot of the reviews are almost like, you know, welcome back, yes, queen, like, no, type, no, shit. No.
It's fanboy nostalgia.
Okay.
Which is, like, I mean,
I don't know
I'm
what I'm missing. Like, I looked and I was like, Beauty and the Beast, the TV series, Ron Perlman. I remember that. Yeah. I did. She was Beauty, right? And that thing, I kind of remember it. Dante's Peak. There was a volcano. Mm-hmm. Maybe Tommy Lee Jones. Somebody. And I remember it. I'm not a Linda Hamilton fan. And then I thought that was kind of, I don't know.
You like the new Terminator though? The new Rev 9 or whatever.
Yeah, I think he did fine enough.
Which is just the same thing as the fucking T2.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. There was no, except the only thing that I found different about him, and it has nothing to do with the actor who played him, you know, who did a fine enough job for what it was, like the jumping out of your skeleton aspect of this one, where you can leave the skeleton to drive the truck while you're able to jump and still manage to be kind of rigid and I thought that was going to be the ending. Like, if you get them apart, then that's the only way you can kill them.
Yeah.
I was constantly, and I think I mentioned this to you this morning, I was constantly looking for the sunlight or the silver bullet or the garlic or the kryptonite.
Well, there was that, yeah.
But it was inside her all along.
Inside her the whole time.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's what they were looking for us to do, but she happened to be carrying Tony Stark's thing in her chest, and once you put that in their eye, that's the definitive way to kill the Rev whatever.
Why, like, not make a weapon out of that?
Yeah, exactly. And she knew that it was inside of her. Like, save us the whole fucking problem of destroying a dam and just kill yourself and put it in his eye right away.
So the last 5 minutes of the movie, she's like, oh, yeah, actually, if you stab him with this, it'll fry his neural net. Yeah. Like, did you guys not know this in the future, that you could fry these Rev-9s with your weird little, like, chest bomb things? Like, you should have been using this the whole time.
Because we had him prone, halfway blown out, where you could have just put it in his eye and it would have formed around him and essentially killed him. And maybe I'm looking too far into it, but it got repetitive for me.
This took a big-time Force Awakens route, right?
Play the hits.
There's two ways to do reboots these days. You do The Force Awakens, or you do something completely different, which Terminator has done, and they've failed. They did The Force Awakens route, but The Force Awakens had a lot going for it in the fact that, yes, it was very similar to A New Hope, but there was some different stuff. It visually looked fantastic. The music was incredible. A lot of new characters who were the focal point of the movie. This one... I think this one was about as good as it could be. And there were some areas that could have improved. I thought at some points it didn't look great. Like, it looked good, but there were some points where it didn't look great. It kind of looked a bit off.
The zero gravity in the plane didn't look awesome.
Again, with kind of redoing, like, the soft reboot of T2 for the most part, it was as good as it could be. Right? Like they did a good job with it, but it wasn't fresh. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't think it was bad by any stretch. But it just didn't, like, there's not much more it could have been.
But isn't that...
Unless they would have reinvented it, which they've done before.
It shouldn't have been made, right? But that's a waste of time.
Let's get to that. Trill,
that bad?
Like, I'll let you lead that one. Like, you got to stop making these, right? Like, they have to stop. They've exhausted all options at this point. I don't care if this was a fucking 90. You have to stop making these movies. There's nothing else they can do with it.
No, I agree with you. I do agree with you. Can I talk about the part I thought was the worst part of the movie?
Shoot.
And the Carl, Arnold Schwarzenegger's T-800. I hated
that. That was kind of
funny. I didn't
like some good comedic lines from him.
Yeah, actually, I thought Arnold was good in this too.
I'm extremely funny.
No, I thought Arnold was
fine. I hated
him. But I just the
I'm right there. I hated it.
The idea of him, a fucking robot, like raising a family, that's like an SNL skit. Like, I got bored of terminating, so I raised a family. Like, I get it. Like, I get, like, it's part of the bigger narrative in terms of, like, okay, John had to die in order for Skynet to be prevented, for me to regain control of my own fate, and so on and so forth. And I fully expect this to be very polarizing. I think you're split down the middle. I think you got two people on this pod who didn't like it and two people who did like it. I think some people liked it and some people didn't. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way it fit in. I felt it was unnatural for a T-800 after basically couldn't even smile in T2. You remember that whole car scene in T2? Where John Connor's like trying to get him to smile, and the comedic beat was him making this big toothy grin for this robot that at one point couldn't smile to all of a sudden develop empathy and the ability to raise a human as his own child.
Okay, but that was 20 years, though.
There's a lot of unbelievable stuff in this movie. I think that's at the bottom of the tier for me. Like, I don't care about that.
What about him sending texts, like heartfelt texts for John, which had like a lot of poignant emotion to Linda Hamilton, you know, like this one's for Johnny. These are your locations. Go get him. Like, he was sending those fucking
things. But I'm okay with it over a long period of time that he could develop that.
He's making sandwiches. Okay.
But I mean, again, you're also in a movie where it's a liquid robot.
No, but I would expect, to Trill's point, I believe that if he was crossing these hurdles with making lunches for his stepson and sending a heartfelt text, then he probably would have picked up the ability to smile, right? Or have been something
emotion.
More. It seems like
that I agree with.
They held on to that stoic type fucking thing where he was wearing Eddie Bauer.
See, so that I totally agree with, because he does, like, he has that emotional ability in this movie where he's like, yeah, I raised a family, like, I, you know, I feel feelings now, but like facially he's not expressing anything. He's still a Terminator.
Not a thing.
That I think they could have changed, but then people would have been pissed off. They're like, what's this jolly Terminator doing? Like, if Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't being Terminator Arnold Schwarzenegger, people would be pissed off. But again, I could suspend my best belief for that compared to a lot of other things that happened in this movie.
That's what cheapens T2 for me. Is like, it's not John Connor dying. Like, I feel like that was an inevitability in the time. Like, John Connor had to die. What I feel like is the arc for Arnold's character in T2 was like – him developing even the minor semblance of empathy by the end of the movie, where he realizes that he has to sacrifice himself. He can't be there anymore. And he has a relationship with John, but it still is like a very robotic, like pushing the bounds of computing type relationship. I felt like now that like we know more is possible, and like, yeah, I get Skynet had to go offline, so he essentially wasn't like mind controlled. I don't disagree with you guys. I'm just saying like I get their liquid androids in this movie, but at the same time, it like it ruins the characterization of the T-800, which is still supposed to be a robot. It's like that the whole point of T2 is that the T-800 was like an inferior model and it was getting its ass kicked by the T-1000. It just wasn't there yet. Like the timelines have been altered and that's fine. Like that's just, that's the gripe I had with it. I didn't like that whole thing, and that was a big part of the movie and a major reason for my score.
So I think they kind of explained that though, right? So like she kind of says that like their infiltrator models, like their whole basis of their existence is to be able to infiltrate humanity without them telling that they're there. And they kind of say like part of that is like their machine learning, like they know how to learn and adapt to their situation. So like that to me isn't crazy out of bounds.
Who's the woman? Who's the he's a sex doll. Then
they,
like
they just they made that up in this movie for that.
Yeah.
But they, I'm just saying they say it. They explained it for to a point where I'm like, I'm satisfied with that. I don't really care. Like,
right. But he had all the emotion of like a fleshlight. Like, who's the girl? Like, does he golf? I'm curious. Does he go to PT? Did he go to any of the school plays and do like a Frankenstein type clap?
I would never hire him as a builder, by the way, or like contractor or whatever, because he's a horrifying human being.
Yeah. So.
It's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, but again, like that's where I don't have a problem with. The problem with me with this movie is primarily just the fact that it's unoriginal. I think they kind of make it a point right off the bat, even with the marketing. Like this isn't like we're retconning Salvation and Genesis. They have nothing to do with this movie, and like that's fine. But they kind of pretend as if those movies didn't exist.
That has to suck, by the way, being people who make and are starring those movies.
Yeah,
you're just told by the creator James Cameron, you are irrelevant.
You're told by you're fucking telling Christian Bale, yeah, you don't exist anymore in this universe. Sorry, but like again, they just act like those movies don't exist, which is that to me sucked because like the Rev 9 to me is very, very similar to the Terminator in T3. It's almost to a T. It's the liquid exoskeleton with like the metal interior skeleton. Mm-hmm. Same thing, except his liquid one could go out and do shit. And then Mackenzie Grace's character is supposed to be like a genetically altered super soldier, which is almost exactly what Sam Worthington's character is in Terminator Salvation, where it's just like human like organs inside, blah, 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 but then like also enhanced with like whatever technological improvements to make him more compatible to fight a Terminator. And like it's like I've seen both of these things already, and they're supposed to be fresh and new, but they're not. And not only is that not fresh and new, but you're also doing the same thing where it's I'm having one Terminator come back to kill this person that'll lead the revolution, and I'm having one Terminator that's going to protect the person going back to the revolution. And like I just saw – we've seen this.
Yeah.
We've seen the same movie 1,000 times, and I get it. Like you're trying to like make a new timeline, blah, blah, blah. Like it just doesn't work. Like you've already seen the movie. You have to do something more original.
Which is tough because you have people that you like. You have a director, which I do – who I do like.
Yeah. I think the one thing he did, Milne, this is a very funny Terminator. I think it was Tim Miller, very, very funny.
I mean Tim Miller – like I – but again, that goes back to what I said, is that like I think this is as good as it could have been for what they were trying to make. Like I think this is like pretty well done, but almost all of my points, with the exception of some technical, I think there were some things that didn't look great in here. I think almost all of it's just originality for me. Like it just doesn't it doesn't hit and it just doesn't feel fresh enough. And I think that's kind of where it comes into play, like they got to stop making these movies because they've tried doing something different and it wasn't good, right? Like, so maybe where they could have been original, you lose the elements of the story that I did like because you're just basically copying and pasting and changing up a little bit. Which, again, let's get back to that question. Trill, I'll go with you again. Like, they got it, like, this is it, right? Like, you've killed off Arnold. You've made one without him. You've made one without Linda Hamilton. You made a couple without Linda Hamilton. Now you made one with her. Arnold's character's dead. Like, I guess you could always bring he's a fucking robot. But, like, that's it. Right?
I think that's it for the movies. I can see them. I can see, like, I can see them doing another Terminator property that was a TV show. But I just I don't know what's left to say. Anymore. It feels like they've done a lot of stuff and some stuff worked and some stuff didn't. And I would be satisfied if this was the end of the Terminator. I would. I'm fine. I've seen it all. I've seen all this crazy shit happening. We've seen Legion come up and they're defeated. Something else is probably going to happen. Like it's just a doomed universe. They're fucked. Like, everybody's just fucked here.
But what if Arnold, like, what if that Terminator survives at the end?
Like, another somehow one comes back and kills the other one that killed John
Kennedy. Or he wanders away from that site, that destruction site, and repairs, and then goes and, you know, coaches a youth hockey team that didn't make the Mighty Ducks. Like, he could do whatever the fuck. It's, like, enough. And even that, like, iconic thing where the guy gets blown up and they put the molten back together again. I think they did that 8 times. Mm-hmm. Like, that's enough. Like, when's one of them going to take? Like, do you have to scatter it a little bit more? And I know the answer was the heart reactor was the only thing that could kill him. But yeah. I got dragged into that every time where, oh, is that it? Ah, oh, fuck, no, they're dribbling back together again. After a while, it's like, okay, I'm done with this fucking thing.
Linda Hamilton should have died, by the way. She absolutely should have died.
Yeah, I was surprised she was alive. Here's my big thing. I'm surprised that I'm saying that after seeing it and having even both times, a decent time and then a better time the second time. Like, I thought for sure, if I was going to sit here in this review and say, end this franchise, I would have thought it was probably the worst one. But, like, when you watch this and you just take a step back and you little scan over everything they've tried, everything they've done, you're like, you got to hang them up. Time to hang up the T-dash number cleats.
Well, so the other negative person is Trill. Let me ask you something, Trill. If the last scene was everyone's looking over and watching the Rev 9 kind of die, and in like one last breath, he shoots a fucking spike up and gets the Spanish girl through the eye and kills her, and then it winds up that the revolution does take place and everything is laid. You know, like, it's a very unhappy ending. All of humankind is gone. That to me would have been a better ending. Like, because that's the end of it.
That's a sequel then. Now you're just setting
No, everyone's dead. And they'll go forward, and it's just, you know, one guy just stepping on dust. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's more bleak, but I think that's more entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I would have liked that.
I mean, it's entertaining.
I'm looking for something.
I know you are. I don't know what I would have liked. That's the problem is, like, as a consumer, I can tell you what I like and I can tell you what I don't like, but I can't always tell you how to get there. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you exactly what to do to get me there. And part of it with this movie was just watching it and not hating it. And I felt it was purely competent. But then the other part was just I've talked about it before. Like, I think there's a lot more interesting things to talk about when we talk about the whole premise of artificial intelligence and the destruction of the you know, humans. And I think that the stories that I'm more interested from this particular genre are maybe a little less in your face than a nuclear apocalypse. I think the real loss of humanity from machines is going to be a lot less glamorous.
Yeah.
A lot less flashy. And so I think, like, you know, like, cause like what we've seen so far, and like, I don't know, like, getting to like a whole statement about computing and like whatever, it's like automation is pretty terrifying and artificial intelligence is pretty terrifying, but like, it feels like it's going to like accidentally cause the end of humanity versus like intentionally doing it. Like, it'll be just a funny coding error or a mistake. And maybe that's a movie I'd rather see.
Go on, it's
a comedy with Simon Pegg, who's like a coder who accidentally like gets the time wrong and like launches missiles.
20,000
uses the metric system. Instead
and, yeah, like up. I think humans using robots to fuck it up ourselves is a lot more plausible than the robots, you know, becoming self-aware. I go back to that because that's the thing about the Terminator franchise that's really captured my attention was this whole idea of like Skynet and like whatever. And 20, 30 years later, it's less appealing to me now because, you know, I think that's become more of a reality, not an impending reality, but I think the realer it potentially becomes, like, the less glamorous it seems in terms of how it takes place in the movies versus how it's probably going to take place with like a accidental Facebook update deleting the world or something.
That's a good way to wrap that. That's a great point. Yeah, I do want you to make your Simon Pegg movie though.
Oh dear. I
Anthony Daniels now.
Oh, I released all the dams in the world.
Composite score of 72, by the way. It is officially buttered. Barely, but it does get that. It does get that rating. So congrats to Arnold Schwarzenegger. We will send him the little trophy we hand out for officially buttered. That's Terminator Dark Fate. Next up, let's talk top five favorite Arnold movies to wrap this one up, okay? How about we start off? Trill, you go first, then Lars, then Ken Jack, then myself, then the audience. Top five favorite Arnold movies. What's your fifth one?
Okay. My fifth one's a shitty movie. It's Last Action Hero. It's not a good movie.
It's not that shitty.
Okay.
Okay, but it's
what are we doing
subversive.
Here? Starting out with slander on Last Action Hero?
I don't think it was that well received, is the thing. But it is kind of clever and subversive.
It was not.
There's like, what's that?
It was not.
Critically
well received. Not well received.
By audiences or critics. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Yeah, but there's like a movie within a movie where like Arnold Schwarzenegger was playing, what's the character's name? Jack something. And then they went into the real world and shit like that. Like, I thought that was pretty clever. Like, I enjoyed that. And I thought at the time, like, I didn't quite get it. But when I was watching it, I'm like, this might have been Arnold's, like, little rebellion against being typecasted as this dude. Mm-hmm.
That's a good pick at number five. I got nothing else to say on it right now.
I don't have that on my list, but I think that's one of the differentiating movies. Like, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has a handful of comedies and then a handful of action movies that all kind of blend together, and then a couple of extraordinary ones. But I forgot about that. I almost regret not putting that on. I have Kindergarten Cop as my number five. I watch it all the time with my kids. I don't know. For some reason, the movie makes me laugh. It's a little dark. Everything kind of works. I kind of get into the it's not a tumor type thing.
It's a movie you forget is dark. Mm-hmm. It's a little dark, but it's like it's a little darker than you want to think.
Yeah, like and the villain in it, I thought had done a good job. He was the same guy from a movie that nobody saw called 3 o'clock High, where he was the bully waiting after school for him. So that's it. I thought Kindergarten Cop, as far as any of the comedic stuff that he did, I thought it was it was better than Twins.
I like that. That's a good pick. That's a good pick as well. I'm still stuck up on Last Action Hero. Ken Jack, number five.
My number five is Conan the Barbarian. I think it's an awesome movie. It's not really one for everyone, and I don't really think it would play with modern audiences. I think Momoa did the remake, and it was not particularly well-received either. This one, I think it's an awesome movie. It's weird. It's fucking freaky. James Earl Jones rocks in it when he turns into a snake. This is a movie my dad made me watch like nonstop, and I thank him for it because I think it's a great taste builder. Very, very fun movie. Arnold looked fucking awesome in it. Jacked as all hell. This is like probably the best he ever looked in any movie, I would say, probably, just from a physical standpoint. And it's just a good watch. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Did you see the Conan reboot, Large, with Jason Momoa?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was very... Yeah. I know, just, I remember it being quite
budget
bad.
$90 million, box office $48 million.
That's never a good thing.
Yeah,
he had no beard. You can't do Jason Momoa with no beard. It just doesn't work.
Yeah,
it is weird.
I'm going to see that new movie where everyone's blind.
Oh, yeah.
See?
This new show. See,
is that a show?
Yeah.
You're like, really? You're going to watch that?
I think I'm going to watch it. I think it's hot as balls.
Apparently terrible.
You can watch it with sound off.
Apparently just awful.
Is it really?
Yeah, I dove into two Apple TV Plus shows. I did The Morning Show, which is decent, not bad, has no idea what it wants to be, none whatsoever. And then the For All Mankind, the alternate reality space race one, which is decent. It's like pretty good, actually, pretty enjoyable.
So now, I haven't read anything about it, and I only saw the preview to it, and I kind of got a little hooked.
I'm sorry, I just crapped all over your purse.
I'm probably not going to see it. Now. That's how fucking malleable. I'll tell you what, would you cocksuckers. So is 78, 73. Trill goes 65. I changed mine from a 61 here to a 63. Like, I changed myself while I'm listening. I'm glad you guys let me go last. Like, I was fucking down on that. I gave it another 2 points. So
okay,
probably got it buttered or I don't know.
Go CC. Go CC. Yeah. And by that I mean it's on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So yeah. The Terminator is my number five.
Okay.
The first one, yeah, obviously. But easy top five pick for me. But it is at number five because there's other Arnold movies that I favor. Kindergarten Cop, not on my list, and I kind of regret it. But I do like Kindergarten Cop a lot. I think I'm probably going to rewatch that this weekend, actually. I haven't seen it in a long time. Audience number five might be a troll. I don't know. Don't care. Batman and Robin.
Okay. Oh,
they voted. It's on there. Freeze. I kind of believe it, I kind of believe it. I have a lot. That movie means a lot to me because I loved it as a kid, and it's still funny to watch every now and then. And it's terrible. It's abysmal. But there's some nostalgia there.
It was the only one with nipples? on the
that's the Bat Nipples one. Yeah, yes, yeah. Indeed. Trill, four.
Solid nips.
I got Kindergarten Cop as my number four. I loved that movie as a kid.
When was the last time you saw that movie? I'm just curious.
Kindergarten Cop?
Yeah.
Probably like 5 years ago.
Gosh, something. That's so long for you. All right, sorry, continue.
It's not great, but it's – I saw another side of Arnold, and, you know, you wanted him to be your teacher. You knew it was never going to happen, but it would have been pretty cool, and I liked when he figured it out. I liked when he started becoming a good teacher. All the kids loved him. He took care of them at nap time. He was very protective. He was a very protective teacher. He was their king. And also the bad guy, exceptionally greasy 90s ponytail bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he's great like, with that.
should go on the Hall of Fame of greasy 90s ponytail bad guys because it should have been up there.
Kindergarten Cop, by the way, the only movie that Arnold was in that has a German word in the title, Kindergarten.
Mm, true, yeah. Very German word.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Actually, was it Kill Gunther?
Do you write IMDb facts?
Yes, I would know that.
You're up next, by the way.
Me?
Yeah.
Running Man, number four.
Oh.
Yeah, Running Man I thought was, I mean, you talk about how perfect greasy 90s
up.
Villain.
That's an oversight.
That
I
had
that one
the
up.
Camp right down to, the host of the Family Feud hosting that Kill or Be Killed game show. I thought that it was excellent. And
fuck. Man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was so campy and perfect, and they had the terrible American Gladiator type sets with the guy
God.
Who had the electric thing and the one guy
design.
It was I just really I don't know. I'm almost afraid to watch Running Man now. And sit down, my kids be like, "Oh my God, watch Running Man! Oh, this is on now. You got to watch it." And then wind up that it's going to be disappointing. So I'm not probably ever going to watch Running Man again. But when that thing was hitting, when I was renting it every couple of weeks at World Video, that fucking hit me a couple.
Have
times.
Have you showed a movie Running to your Man. Kids that they didn't like and you were really upset?
I've done that. My kids, I was kind of hoping Blade Runner would kind of hit with the teenager. Before we went to go see the new Blade Runner, and it didn't.
But see, like...
I can understand that.
You and I could talk... This is for another topic another day, because I don't love the original Blade Runner, and Blade Runner 2049 is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my
life.
And
I'm the opposite. I'm okay with the new one, and Blade Runner, the original, is one of my favorite movies. So...
That's another discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
Interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious what movie I will protect to never show my kids, so I don't get the shame of... Probably fucking, like, Small Soldiers... This movie was cool for you as a kid, Dad? You stink.
Running Man was written by Stephen King on the pseudonym Richard Bachman. So, so it was based on a Stephen King on one of Susan's. And Jim Brown was in it. And
Stephen King thing, I actually did not know that.
Yeah.
Jim Brown's another movie we just watched.
Jim Brown was in so many movies.
There's another one we just watched.
He was voiced a character in Small Soldiers.
That's right, yep.
Yeah. How about that? How about that tie-in? Or didn't even know that one.
I didn't know.
Ken Jack, number four.
My number four is True Lies. Fantastic dad movie. My another one my dad made me watch a lot. I think it's very, very fun, well written. I think it's one of Cameron's better movies. And that the dance scene.
That's awesome.
The dance scene with Jamie Lee Curtis.
So. All time creepers.
Trillo was so good. Oh my God, it was so good.
Oh, my plums.
Feeling my plums.
Look at Odette.
That was a big time horny moment as a teenager watching that for the first time.
I just can't stop looking at Odette.
You want to bring up camp? We'll bring up camp for my number four, and that's Total Recall.
Oh, love Total Recall.
Obviously, talking the Arnold one, not the Colin Farrell remake with Kate Beckinsale, which was a horrendous movie. Mm-hmm. I love the original Total Recall. I just love that style movie. And you can see that in just my enjoyment of something like Fifth Element or Valerian, shit like that. Just like really weird futuristic stuff. I really enjoyed Total Recall. I hope they never try and remake it again either, because part of when it was made is why that movie... rules as hard as it does.
Three tits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lady had three boobs. Yeah. There was
part of why it's
that little guy stuck on the tummy. Quaid.
Do you remember the Colin Farrell one? It was so
that's
bad.
One I blocked out.
Kate Beckinsale in it.
It was such a bad movie.
Yeah, it's like everything that made the original one charming and like all the Verhoeven touches of it were gone.
Just gone.
Just got rid of the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
There's like 1,000 different guys. I was looking at trivia for this a while ago, but there's like 1,000 different directors attached to that movie at one point. I think like David Cronenberg was supposed to direct it, but he got fired and ended up doing The Fly. So it all worked out. His Fly is also good. And so, I mean, I think it.
Sharon Stone had her most Sharon Stonest too in that one. She was something else. Yeah.
Total Recall. And of course, you have Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside's voice. fantastic. All-time voice guy right there. Sam Fisher in Splinter Cell, for those of you that play Splinter Cell. Joe probably knows that, right?
I wasn't a Splinter Cell guy.
Okay. Well, he's Sam Fisher, and he's just a great voice.
Yeah. Number four for the audience is Kindergarten Cop.
Sounds about right.
They have that up there. Trill, number
I'm a cop, you idiot.
Number three.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
See, that's why people don't remember that it's kind of a dark movie, because you remember these funny lines, and you laugh at them, but like, I got to rewatch Kindergarten Cop. All right, what's your number three?
The kid was, number three is Total Recall. We were just talking about it. Along with RoboCop and Starship Troopers, it was a movie that was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm. Starship Troopers still so fucking good.
Starship.
I love Starship Troopers.
I don't want a remake of Starship Troopers, but I'd like to see. I don't know.
They would Total Recall it because
exactly. That would make sense even to make
today. Made these movies great. Total Recall, RoboCop, Starship Troopers was because of the director.
Mm-hmm. I would love some sort of like attempt at a series of Starship Troopers and campy.
See, but they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't do it because understand subtlety anymore, really, in movies. And they wouldn't like that movie was great because it was so subtle and the messaging it was giving off. But now it would either shoehorn it or they would not try and do the same thing.
Respect to me for pulling back on that statement halfway through because I realized it was a stupid statement. Number three, Large.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Okay.
Yeah, and I
was going to show up soon.
There was too much oozing liquid metal in this last one, and that was the first time I saw the oozing liquid metal. Outside of time, I broke a thermometer, and it blew my mind. That's my favorite Terminator. I think it's everyone's favorite Terminator. Is that
so? Large size mercury poisoning we're learning today.
Explains a lot. So that's definitely number three.
I think it's most people's favorite. I don't know for sure, though. But I typically, that's, I think, how it's viewed.
I think it is, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Ken Jack, three.
My number three is Commando. I think Commando is one of, like, the all-time.
I thought that'd be your number one. Okay.
It's one of the all-time cheesy action movies ever. I think it has, like, the best corny line. Like, if it's a movie where you take it as it is, you love it. I mean, the lines in this movie are, I think, among some of the best, like, cheesy action movie lines of all time. Where he's like, hey, blow off some steam. And like when he's says to Sully, he's like, "Remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied." He drops him, and don't bother my friend; he's dead tired. When he's dead in the plane, like there's so many great lines. The action's awesome. He's like running around doing the load up scene when he comes out of the off like the boat and like wherever fake country, Isla Nublar or whatever. Like it's so fucking good. And if you have like the right mindset going into it, and I think a little underappreciated among Arnold's movies.
Vernon Wells was the out of shape villain in that one.
Yeah, right? Big time out of shape. The Australian dude, just
Melissa Milano too.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be your number one.
No, not today.
Okay, I'm surprised. My number three is Last Action Hero. True. That's why I didn't like when you were kind of hedging a bit on it. I think it's a great pick.
I will hedge on it because it's not well received. I thought I would be out in a ledge on that one.
I love the concept. Like you said, the movie in a movie. Like I just think it's so creative. Maybe it's because, I don't know, you go to a lot of fucking movies. Maybe that's why it connects so well with it. It's just, it's different. You're right, Large. You said it too. Like it sticks out from the rest of the things he does. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that like character feel on who he is, at least as an actor in that time. Yeah, I love Last Action Hero. That's another one. I might have to binge some of these Arnold movies. Audience number three is The Terminator, the original. Trill, number two.
True Lies. A lot of people say True Lies is Cameron's best movie.
That's what I was saying before. It's definitely one of my favorites. I think maybe number one. I don't know.
I like the Harrier jet from that one. That
was cool scene.
Talked about the dance scene, but the Harrier jet's what sticks out. And also
about the missile.
all time, Tom Arnold rule.
I was about to say, I'm surprised you pick up Tom Arnold movie because we know Large Tom Arnold hates Joe Bolins.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that.
He does. He despises him.
Yeah, he smoked me on Twitter one day.
Made fun of you
because I said something like the best damn sports show period doesn't get enough credit for like creating the current iteration of sports talk, and he's like, credit? Who's looking for credit? We just had fun doing the show, and I was like, damn, Tom Arnold.
Sorry,
I was just trying to give you a compliment, my friend.
He just fried you young.
Just fried me. Yeah.
Large number two.
Predator.
First time on the list so far.
Yeah. So and it could have went either way. And I think you know my number one. But yeah, Predator for me was groundbreaking also. And I know they were in Running Man together, but seeing like two governors in the same cast with Jesse the Body and him.
Minnesota light rail system.
Yeah, I ain't got time to bleed. And the guy, black guy shaving and stuff like
Bill Duke.
And Carl Weathers did such a great job. And you know, all around, it was just Billy Bear was the characters in it. It was so simple, right? I mean, there was no set design or anything like that. They just went out to some, I don't know where the forest was, where they shot. They just did a fucking fantastic job. And everything else that came after it, every other Predator, has not come close to being entertaining.
God, no.
Alien versus Predator, the whole deal. I saw one of the greatest Halloween costumes. Like, someone did the Predator and the other guy had a bodysuit where it was like the thermal imaging bodysuit and stuff, which I thought was great. So, so Predator is definitely my number two.
Your number one's been written in my spreadsheet since I made the like form for today. It's like the first movie you talked about when you first ever guest appeared on here.
Because we did we did sequels. We're sequels.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Ken Jack, number two.
Mine's also Predator. I think it's one of the best action movies ever. I mean, all-time cast, Schwarzenegger, Weathers, Bill Duke, who's also in Commando, Jesse Ventura, Sonny Landham. I mean, it's awesome. It is so fucking good. And it's just, like you said, simple formula, sticks to it, great action, great lines, ain't got time to bleed, like, and just a lot of many other ones which maybe be considered problematic now. Some would say.
Yeah.
But I mean, the action is so cool. I mean, even for me, like, this movie came out in, like, what, 1987 or something like that. And, like, I watched it first time as a kid. I mean, there's better effects in movies, but, like, I still watched this and I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. Yeah. The thermal imaging looks awesome. The Predator itself, like, the practical design of it looked really cool. Much better than the original design they had for it, which is hilariously bad. And I think Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to play the original Predator and it looked like shit. But it looks so cool, and it just so many quotable lines. It's such a great,
John
quick, and easy arc.
Yeah. Before Die Hard, before Hunt for Red October. I mean, this is everyone don't get, but this is his seminal work.
Yep.
It should be on his fucking tombstone.
I totally agree. Fucking awesome movies. Stick around.
Back to back Predators. I'm going T2 at number two though.
Mm.
It's one of the best movies ever made. One of the best action movies ever made. It's a fucking masterpiece. The first two, they're masterpieces. The first two, they're great movies. T2, obviously, we talked about it already. The Running Man, number two for the audience. How about the audience agreeing with you on that one?
I like it. I didn't think The Running Man would get any love. Did anyone else mention Running Man yet?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Not
just you, which
not
I was
yet.
Surprised. Yet, keyword. Cheryl Ballin's number one favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
It's T2. One of the best gifts of all time, is the Sarah Connor against the fence exploding into the skeleton.
Yep.
Whenever there's a hot take, it's just this perfect.
Just L.A. exploding. It's awesome. That, and that's the Troll Ballins take.
And that's in that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Great gift.
Also another, I also liked the whole helicopter scene on the side of the building in Terminator 2.
Yes.
That was good.
Whole movie.
Yeah.
Incredible shit. That's a great number one pick, Trill. Large number one, we already know it's Expendables 2, but why don't you tell us why?
1982's Conan the Barbarian is my number one, and it's number one with a fucking bullet. Script was written by a fucking Oliver Stone. Nobody knew that Arnold could act, and they were right, because he couldn't.
He couldn't.
But
sure
he was just big and fucking gorgeous and was able to swing a sword. And even that one little crush your enemies, see them driven before
those
you, and hear the
lamentations
of the women. And if nothing else, James Earl Jones's bangs.
So good.
Those fucking bangs.
They rock.
I mean, I had them. And, you know, why do you want to wear your hair like that, James Earl Jones? You wouldn't understand. I wanted to eat snake stew. It was big for me. He fucked a witch.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
the eyes thing where he makes like, her freeze in her spot.
Yeah.
Heads are sick.
And again, the sequel with
Destroyer,
Wilt Chamberlain was in it, and Grace Jones and all that stuff did not work. It didn't work with Jason Momoa. Red Sonja didn't work. Conan the Barbarian holds up. I still watch it. I watch it with my kids, and they kind of dig it too. So it's there. Like it's not. I don't think I'm alone on it.
Were you shitting your pants when you showed that movie the first time?
Yeah, because I forgot. Like the humping scene in front of a fire where he throws the witch into a fire is a little bit intense. That's where I have him going and you know refill the nachos or whatever. But yeah, that's definitely my favorite Conan.
I knew it was your pick.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Yeah,
it separates from the pack. Ken Jack, what's yours?
My number one is T2. It is honestly, it's another one of the best action movies of all time. I think it's one of the best like sci-fi movies, if you could consider that, of all time as well. Robert Patrick, all-time performance. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think this is like where he's at his best, where he doesn't need to act too much, but he just looks so fucking cool. And I think everyone else involved is pretty much great as well. Linda Hamilton, jacked as shit. her escape from the asylum, I think, was really, really well done. And just everything about this. I think it's like near-perfect movie, probably the best sequel ever made in history.
That is another great pick. The audience agreed as well with Terminator 2, my number one. Let's remind everyone, this is favorite, not best. My favorite Arnold movie means more to me than any other Arnold movie is Jingle All the Way.
Really?
I fucking love Jingle All the Way. It's been a tradition for me in Christmas forever. I also think it's a good movie. Currently doing one of my weekly videos. I'm doing it on Jingle All the Way and how it's looked down upon, audience and critics. It's gotten a little more love over the years as like a Christmas movie, but I think it's more viewed as like where people are like, oh, Elf, Home Alone, It's a Wonderful Life. Those are great. Like, Jingle All the Way stinks, but we watch it anyway. It's a great Phil Hartman role. Phil Hartman is hilarious.
Horny
in this
ass
movie.
Neighbor, baby.
Super horny. Very horny. I think Sinbad. Arnold's good at it. Yeah. Sinbad. Arnold's good. Just and you know what? I don't want to spoil my video, but it takes a different route than a lot of other Christmas movies. It takes on commercialization. You know, you shop for your kids
absolutely
for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
It's different
than it used to be. Yeah. It's not like the Tickle Me Elmo days or Cabbage Patch Kids or the Power Rangers, which they based a movie on. You know, you can buy shit online now, but I mean, if you
it's not
remember
easy
that
find
at all.
It online either, because you're going through second parties trying to get it there on time, and so I'm doing it. I'm jingling all the way every year for whatever the new
reindeers
thing is. Yeah, so
you're stealing Ted's kids' toys from under the tree.
That's not in the rotation in my house for the holidays. I should add it for the kids.
You
maybe
should.
They'll dig that. You know, because we do Elf
superhero
and
movie
stuff
too.
Like that. Yeah,
Turbo Man. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, you should. It's fun. Don't watch the extended version. It stinks.
Okay,
the extended one. Yeah, there's some great names in that movie too. Some really great comedic names, but also Phil Hartman. His last movie that he was alive for that was released.
Oh, wow.
We just reviewed another Phil Hartman movie. We reviewed Small Soldiers.
He was also a horny neighbor.
Yeah, also a horny neighbor. Have you shown your kids Small Soldiers?
I don't think so.
They might dig that one.
Yeah, that might be a good one, too.
We watched it. Trill had never seen it. He enjoyed it. It holds up still. Yeah. That was fun. That was a good time. Thanks for coming on, Large.
Oh, my pleasure.
Notice how we didn't review The Lighthouse here.
Yeah, Trill's number one, right?
No, Trill said...
The Lighthouse?
Terminator 2.
Yeah, Trill T2, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he started us off.
Yeah, it was just the T2s all rolled together.
I'm so excited.
A T2.
Yeah, The Lighthouse. We didn't make you review it.
Oh, God.
Kendrick and I have seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I really was dreading it. I was going to do it because I'd jump on a grenade for you assholes, but I really didn't want to see that fucking thing.
That's fair.
And then I saw a part of Motherless Brooklyn, and then... you know, because that's Willem Dafoe also. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that at all.
Uh-oh.
Either.
Well, yeah,
I
don't know if you
a friend, right a friend of a friend of our pod, Weekly Planet. That means you're a Willem. You're not a Willem Dafoe friend. You are a Willem Dafoe.
I'm a Willem Dafoe.
You
yeah
do not like him. Yes, that would be great. But James is going to be coming on soon again, folks. Mr. Sunday Movies.
Dafoe's accent is so funny, and I love it.
That was fun. Thank you, Large. On behalf of myself and Trill and Kenjack, you got to catch up on Watchmen, man.
Yeah, I will. I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it this week. I'm halfway through the second episode. I fell asleep, but there's only three out, right?
Only three. Well,
yeah. So
Trill can attest. It is a fantastic show.
It's very good. It is very good.
Cool.
Which is surprising because it's funny. Before it debuted, it's not surprising that it's good. It's surprising that it's this good because before it debuted, the three of us shared the same sentiment. I think, Trill, you're the one that said it. Like, we wanted something that filled in for Succession, which we were obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, just be a decent show. And it turned out to be so much more than that. You can also watch a recap in the link below. Go to our YouTube page, myself, Robbie Kenjack, new weekly series. We're going to be doing like 15, 20-minute recaps of each episode. It'll be on Mondays. The series is called What the Hell is Happening, I think. That's what we're landing on. I'm going to do the same thing for Mandalorian. The Star Wars show debuts next week as well. We'll have it out either the afternoon. I think the Mandalorian's debuting at like 6 a.m. Eastern mm-hmm on Disney+. Plus. So either going to have it the day of or the day after. I also think... we're going to be live watching the premiere of The Mandalorian when it comes out. You can follow us on the Barstool Twitch page. I think we're going to watch it live
here
as it debuts. Yeah.
What day would it be?
Next Tuesday.
I'll be in the office.
You fucking join in if you want. My only concern is
do radio.
After maybe we'll do it after radio.
No, you guys can watch it if you guys want to watch it live at 6 o'clock. I can
no,
watch that
no
and
we'll
go on radio
after,
at 7.
We'll watch it after radio.
You lazy fuck.
We'll watch it after radio.
Crazy.
Thank you again, Large, for Trill. What are we doing next week? I don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're going to put our vote out for the Sunday review on Thursday. We're going to do it earlier than we usually do.
Parasite.
So look out.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
I was a huge fan of that fucking movie.
Awesome. Parasite. Yeah. Awesome.
I've been saying you see it yet, Trill?
Been saying it for 3 months now. Best movie.
Not yet.
We are going to review Parasite soon. It's still starting to roll more and more. Jojo Rabbit is rolling wider as well this week, by the way.
Okay.
And for those asking, The Irishman, we will review it when it comes out on Netflix. Just easier for everybody. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, and Large, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office.
inside of a dream. Cause we're talking too hard to make this a thing. Why does it feel like we're working? You act like a whole different person. I'm tired of searching. I know it's only a matter of time till the shine wears off. Cause I'm all at a worst, feel alone every time we talk. The more that I hold you, the more I don't know your touch. The more that I hold you, the more.